Namaste, everyone. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all joining us today. It's a good day. It's a better day than yesterday, of course. There's a lot going on in the news cycle yesterday, and we're going to keep talking about it. It's a communist takeover, and it's happening in not just New York City, but it's happening all over our country. And now is the time to start waking people up. And I look forward to doing just that with Trevor Louden in just a bit. He'll be joining us today. He's got a lot to sound off on. He has been following this so-called socialist movement in the United States. It is not socialism. It is communism. Don't let them lie to you. And that is exactly what Trevor Louden is going to be discussing today. So we're excited about that. There's a lot else going on, though, of course. President Trump is expected to make an announcement at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. We will bring that to you once he goes live. We're expecting possibly for them to allow the cameras in for that announcement. It sounds like that's going to be the case. So we'll maybe get either the live feed for it, or sometimes, you know, I get the emails from those who are in the room when he's making the announcement. So we might get that first before we get the actual video footage. But whatever it is, we'll bring it to you first as usual. Plus, there's a really exciting update. I mean, really exciting update in the Tina Peters case. Tina Peters is getting very, very close to being saved, and we're very excited for that. I'll bring you the latest as to what the DOJ is doing to try to rescue her from the corrupt Colorado prosecutors, politicians who are trying to throw Ms. Peters in prison for the rest of her life. She is a whistleblower. She deserves to be freed, and she is an absolute patriot, and we sincerely mean just that. Plus, James Comey did get a victory yesterday in court. I'll bring you the latest on that. Plus, there's a new Rasmussen reports poll out, and it is very insightful, we'll say. I'll break down the numbers in regards to how Americans are feeling about Arctic Frost. Now, keep in mind, too, the corporate media is three major media outlets that have just refused to talk about Arctic Frost. So obviously, a lot of Americans are just completely out of the know on the issue. That's why it's so important, too, folks, for you all to share these clips, to clip the show up, send it to your friends and family, post it online, because I'm telling you, so many people have no idea what's happening in this country right now. One, the media is too afraid to go against the regime. And I'm talking about the Obama-Biden regime. They still have power. They still have power. There are so many media outlets who are refusing to cover any of the corruption that's being exposed because, well, they still have a grip on them. And so we'll keep digging into that. And I truly mean it when I say I appreciate it when some of you, I try to retweet it when I see it on X, share our posts, blast them out everywhere, our clips from this show, because we appreciate that. Okay. Also, I want to talk about the filibuster, because there's now some popularity amongst those in the Senate who are now saying, yeah, we should just get rid of the filibuster. It's very apparent what Democrats are doing. They're saying that President Trump could stop the shutdown. That's what Democrats are saying. The only way for him to do so is to completely terminate the filibuster. So we might as well do it because Democrats seem to be on board. I'll bring you the latest as to those who are jumping on board. Also, Josh Hawley, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he is trying his very best to make sure that 42 million people get their food stamps. Now, obviously, those who need it in this country, who are Americans, yes, they should have it. But 42 million people is the number we hear. We don't know how many of those are U.S. citizens. But we shouldn't be advocating, in my opinion, we shouldn't be advocating for everyone to get their food stamps back. There are tons of people, millions of people who are fully capable of working, even if it's remote work. Why is Josh Hawley pretending to be a conservative and advocating for everyone to get food stamps? No, this is a moment where we could sit here and look at this and figure out how do we purge some of those who have been leeches to the system. Why is Josh Hawley ignoring that? So I'll discuss that and play the clip for you, of course. A lot happening on today's show. I also want to talk about some terror attacks that, of course, no one's going to talk to you about. There was a terror attack yesterday in France. Of course, they're hiding his name, his photos. They're claiming he is a national. But we all know there's a reason why they always hide their faces. And we'll also give you an update regarding the commie takeover. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, Chris Cuomo even getting really angry. Obviously, his brother just lost that election, but he's sounding off on those Democrats who supported a communist over their corrupt brother, his corrupt brother. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. A lot more to unpack. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. I keep talking about it. We just got them in this week, the Alex Jones Signature Blades. They're up on the shop right now, and it's 25% off site-wide, so go take a look.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. I'm excited that you are all joining us today. A lot going on all around the world, and we're excited for you to be on board here because there's so many stories that the corporate media is never going to tell you about. Arctic Frost in particular, you know, outlets like CBS, NBC, they didn't even want to talk about it. Of course, because their alliance is still to the Biden and Obama regime, so no surprise there, of course. We're going to be digging into that. Plus, there's a new poll out that shows how Americans truly feel about Arctic Frost. And I think it highlights the level of just flat-out ignorance, how so many Americans have no idea what's happening as the corruption continues to get exposed. Plus, we'll be digging in a bit to the commies that are trying to take over this great country. There is a massive movement to do just that. It's not just in New York City. It's popping up in places like Georgia. Georgia is next on their list, and not many people are aware of that. Trevor Loudon is going to be joining me in just a few moments, probably like an hour, I'd say, to dive into that topic as well, because there's a lot there, a lot there. And I think most Americans don't understand how this is all a well-orchestrated effort to take down our government, to take down our economy, to completely destroy this great nation. And that's what they're doing right now. And so we're going to dig into that. And Trevor Loudon has been doing a ton of digging into this because he has written so many books on this, trying to sound the alarms. And sadly, not many have been listening. We'll also be talking about James Comey. He was handed a victory yesterday in court. I'll dive into that. Plus, a watchdog group is trying to go after Jasmine Crockett. And they have just recently filed an ethics complaint against her. And you're probably wondering, why would they do that? There's so many reasons why they do that. We'll go into that into great detail in just a bit as well into the show. There's a lot we're talking about too, as well as the terrorist attack that took place yesterday in France. 10 people hit by a vehicle. The individual obviously screaming out words that you probably have heard before. We'll talk about that because the police in France aren't trying to release any of his information. This is what they always do. No photos, no names, no nothing. They're just telling you that he's a national. Yeah, but there's a reason why they hide that information from you. Plus, James O'Keefe just dropped a new report about Gavin Newsom. And it's very interesting to hear the plot that Gavin Newsom has been cooking up behind the scenes to prepare for a 2028 run for presidency. Okay, so that's going to be really great, too, to talk about because it's very insightful. I also want to talk about, too, we'll be covering it around 11 a.m. Eastern time today. President Trump is expected to make an announcement, and I will be going straight to that if it's broadcast live or if we get the emails before the video is available. We'll just go over what they're talking about at the White House because obviously we're keeping your eye on everything related to that because President Trump yesterday was really going off in regards to Nigeria and threatening the Nigerian government. He literally issued a warning telling them they better get it together. And it seems like, according to Eric Prince, they're actually listening. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk about Tina Peters. Let's talk about Tina Peters because Tina Peters is being, she was obviously politically persecuted. She was somebody who sounded the alarms about how corrupt the Colorado election systems were back in 2020. And what did they do to her? Well, they threw her in prison. And they brag about it too. They brag about it. The corrupt politicians in Colorado are doing their very best to keep Tina Peters in prison. But the DOJ has just directed the Bureau of Prisons to explore options for transferring Tina Peters from a Colorado state prison to a federal facility following her conviction last year. President Trump has been making public calls for her release. I say we should probably just cut back the funding from Colorado until they release their political prisoner, because we don't do that in this country. An email was sent last Wednesday, according to Just the News. It was from the office of Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, who serves as second in command, of course, to AG Pam Bondi, to the BOP. According to Just the News, the email instructs, at the request of the Deputy Attorney General, police have the Bureau of Prisons explore any and all avenues with the BOP's authority to seek and request the transfer of Ms. Tina Peters from the Colorado Department of Corrections to a federal BOP facility. It further urges the BOP to send out a request to Colorado as soon as possible, begin the preparations to have her transferred into federal custody. So a lot happening there. We might actually get to see Tina Peters, hopefully before the holidays. I mean, listen, folks, this woman obviously is a gold, she's a member of a Gold Star family. She lost her son. And she has one of the most heartbreaking stories. She did her very best as a patriot who loves this country to sound the alarms and the corruption that she witnessed in Colorado. And what did they do? Well, they threw her in prison. They threw her in prison. Now, you don't have to agree with whether or not the elections were stolen or manipulated in Colorado, but you sure as heck shouldn't stand for this. Colorado should never, never taken this woman as a prisoner. I mean, we don't have political prisoners in this country. That is what makes us great. And sadly, they've done it time and time again. And Tina Peters is one of still the many that I will advocate for. Peters should not be in prison, obviously, at her age. And she does have her health issues that she has, that she's made very public. We should be advocating for her release immediately. I know a lot of people do believe that she could become a federal witness in a crime, which would be the obviously the election investigations. This video just infuriates me. If you've ever spoken to Tina Peters, if you ever met Tina Peters, you know that she's a very sweet woman. A very sweet and kind woman. Does not belong in handcuffs, not a criminal. Just someone who loves this country and was doing its very best to sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. And they threw her in prison for that. They don't like it when you expose their corruption. They hate that. She was sentenced to 9 years in prison for election tampering. First off, the election was over when she did what she did. But this is what they do, because they don't want you to expose the corruption. Time and time again, we saw it in 2020. They want to silence you. They don't want you speaking out. Several of the election machines, you know, the voting machines that were used, also keep in mind, I know there was two major companies who did file lawsuits against anyone who talked about it. Now, again, some of these people truly did not have any evidence on these crimes that they alleged on air. But so many more are now calling a lot of this into question. A lot of this into question. Folks, I don't know how many more times I have to say it. There's one company that, thankfully, I know several outlets have not settled with yet, but they were just recently charged by the DOJ for bribery. And I actually, because they were in, they're based in Southern California. Let me pull up their indictment. They were indicted and officially charged on October 16th. A federal grand jury in Miami returned a superseding indictment Tuesday against the top people over at Smartmatic Group. And again, we don't know if they had a role in 2020 at all, but to sit here and say it's a conspiracy theory when our own government, this actually happened under Joe Biden, this was initiated. Under his DOJ, they were going after them and investigating them. The voting machine company has been charged with the Philippine bribing and money laundering scheme. Now, of course, they have pled not guilty, so you should respect that. But these allegations in this indictment say that it happened between 2015 and 2018. And again, I mean, I went outside their headquarters. So I wanted to actually question them about this when I heard that they were under investigation. And they did their very best to not go into the office, those who have been charged now. I would have loved to have a conversation with them about all of this, because they had the cojones to go after and still are going after several media outlets for making allegations that are, let's just say their allegations alleged corruption. Again, it was in their opinion, as it is mine. But according to our own DOJ, they were involved in a bribery scheme. So again, don't be dismissive of all this. Do not be dismissive. Yes, everyone has the presumptions to be, you know, presumed not guilty. And they're the ones who are saying that they're not guilty, obviously, but This is something you have to take into account. The fight over our elections, it's really upsetting to sit back and watch as Republicans refuse to get into this fight and to protect our elections. They've done nothing. Nothing. We had Brian Harrison, the Texas representative, on the show yesterday. He pretty much called out Texas Republicans for creating the illusion that we truly care about our elections. But the reality of it is yes, they're sitting here and saying that you shouldn't, have non-U.S. citizens voting. But the reality of it is we don't check IDs. Folks, I just got breaking news in. I wanted to read this off to you. I literally just came in. As you see, I grab my phone. Nancy Pelosi officially is not going to be seeking re-election in our upcoming election. The former House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, will not seek re-election, according to Fox, after completing her current term. That's what Fox is saying. A source familiar with them has said that story is still developing, but that's what we got for now. So again, we heard this earlier in the week. We heard that Pelosi was not going to be running. Fox News saying that their sources also were telling them the same thing, and they just pushed that as breaking news. So we'll continue to follow it, obviously, when it comes official. Obviously, that woman's not running anymore. What is she, 85, I think? She should just probably enjoy happy hour every day. She does now, but maybe just not on our dime. She probably also is afraid of what's going to come on this accountability tour. All right, let's talk about James Comey. A federal judge in Virginia sided with Comey yesterday in the criminal case against him. Obviously, that is the former FBI director. During a heated, long, 1 hour back and forth, U.S. Magistrate Judge William Fitzpatrick demanded full details on FBI search warrants from 2019 to 2020 tied to Arctic Haze leak probe, including whether any seized material violated Comey's attorney-client privilege with his lawyer and friend Daniel Richmond. Comey's attorney accused the government of hiding evidence and possibly conducting an unconstitutional secret search in September. Oh, wouldn't that suck? Wouldn't that suck? The guy who did this to so many other people, the guy who literally bragged about bringing people into his, I remember the videos, clear as day of him bragging about bringing or sending his agents to General Michael Flynn. Flynn had no idea that he was the one who was being targeted in their investigation. He thought it was just a casual conversation that the director had arranged for. But he was set up. Prosecutors insisted they followed the rules, but admitted that Comey wasn't always notified about the warrants targeting Richmond's records. The judge sided with the defense, telling prosecutors Comey's lawyers are entitled to know exactly how many or how these warrants were executed and how the information is being used. He ordered immediate disclosure of the evidence and related grand jury materials. Again, I mean, that sounds fair. If we were all playing by the same set of rules, I'd say that sounds fair. Let him have access to all the evidence, how it was obtained, for sure. But we haven't been playing by those rules. In fact, those on the left had no problem but to hide evidence. We're just finding out now that U.S. federal lawmakers were also subjected to Arctic frost. So what do you want me to do? You want me to have empathy for you? No. No. Comey has been pulling these shady little tricks for far too long. Now all of a sudden he wants it to stop? Ah, he wants a fair shot. Must be nice. Must be nice. Rasmussen Report just released new data, and I actually wanted to read this to you guys because it is quite the interesting poll that they just dropped. Okay, get this. 67% of likely U.S. voters consider Arctic frost to be a serious scandal, including 43% that say it's very serious. Now, that's 67%. There was a tweet that I put up last week, and excuse me if I'm forgetting what the third network was, but there were three major media outlets that did not cover Arctic frost. In fact, it came from the Media Research Group. When you go through the numbers specifically, you quickly learn that 0 seconds were put forward to cover Arctic frost. I believe it was CBS. I have to go over the other ones too, but this is the other side of the poll too that we should bring up as well. 51% of voters agree that Judge Boasberg should be impeached and removed from office. Now, that's probably due to the fact that he withheld information that Senator Ted Cruz and others were having their phones tapped. And he helped organize all of that. Now, obviously, he did what he did to President Trump, and we all know what those issues were related to. But again, this is what they do. This is what they do. I just don't understand why we allow any of this to happen in the first place. To be blunt, I'm going to pull it up eventually. But I believe it was CBS, NBC News, and there was another media outlet that spent 0 seconds covering it. Oh, here we go. I got it now. ABC, CBS, NBC spent 0 seconds. That's zero. Covering Arctic Frost last week when the stories all broke. And that is due to the Media Research Council. That's the source of that one. So keep in mind, right, 67% of likely U.S. voters think that Arctic Frost is very serious. It's very likely that the other percentage of those individuals who don't deem it as important are probably people that have no idea what Arctic Frost even meant when they were taking that poll. Great job, guys. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't send this. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty insane. It's pretty insane. Disgraceful. This is why so many Americans, when you go and you meet somebody on the other side of the aisle and you're like talking to them and they just don't seem to get your point, it's probably because they have literally no idea what you're talking about. They live in their own algorithm. It's very sad. It's very unfortunate. But again, you know, I said it at the top of the show, it's why it's so important for you all at home to, whether you're watching online or whatever it is, to clip up the show, post it on social media, and just blast it out. We got to get it past our algorithm. Because so many people have no idea what's happening in this country right now. They have no idea how bad the lawfare got. No clue. In fact, now they think there's lawfare happening because we're holding those that committed the lawfare accountable. So if you haven't been paying attention to the last 5+ years, just, we can keep it simple. The Biden regime years. We could go back to the Obama years, but keep it simple. Most people have no idea what happened. Because they sheltered them. It's just pretty insane. Let's talk about the filibuster. The filibuster is an interesting one, right? Because obviously those on the left have advocated to get rid of it, terminate it completely, but they didn't have the support. But President Trump is now all in on it because, well, Democrats continue to push the lie that President Trump is the one who is continuing to keep this government shut down. Now, yet, none of this has made it to the president's desk, of course. So there's really, if you're an intelligent person who understands how government works, you know that's a flat-out lie. You know, in fact, that it passed in the House, it's now in the Senate. You need Democrats to jump on board with it to get 60 votes. We know this. But those on the left know that their base really isn't that intelligent, really doesn't understand how government works, and it's because, well, they control the schools. Department of Education is theirs. And they've intentionally failed to educate Americans on how the government works. They continue to spew this lie. And so these people who are on their side have no idea that they're being lied to. I want to play clip one for you because Democrats are unhinged. Specifically, Jackie Rosen, who is just so upset at the idea that we're going to blame Democrats for the shutdown. Take a listen.
What do you say to the staff? What do you say to the TSA workers? What do you say to the air traffic controllers? What do you say to the military?
What I am saying to you is this is a Republican shutdown, my friend. You are in control of the White House. You are in control of the House, and you are in control of the Senate.
She hopes you're just as stupid as she is. That's where we go with this one. She hopes you're just as stupid as she is because she knows that Republicans have given the approval. Hey, listen, if she thinks that this is a Republican shutdown, yeah, we could actually end it. You know, we had Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on this show, and she was the first one to come out swinging for it. Terminate the filibuster. We don't have to work with these people. Now, she received a lot of flack. I know that the Daily Beast was pretending like she was going after the president. That wasn't true, of course. She was trying to give her opinion. But, folks, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is a patriot. She understands that the so-called friends across the aisle saying that they used to have isn't the case. We don't have friends across the aisle. We have communists across the aisle who are looking to conquer this country. And MTG understands just that, and that's the reason why President Trump is now also jumping on board and advocating for the end of the filibuster. It's not just President Trump, MTG. It's also a good friend of the show, Senator Tommy Tuberville, In clip two, he is in agreement with President Trump on just ending the filibuster because Democrats don't want to compromise. Take a listen.
Okay, if we need to bust it, let's bust it. Let's knock it down to 51 and let the Senate know that, listen, the power needs to go to the president and let him get something done. If we don't, we're going to lose our country. It's going to be over with. And so he's got 3 years. He's the last Trump that we'll have in office. He's hard-nosed. He believed in this country. Let's give him some support. If he wants to blow up the filibuster, I'm all for it.
See, if we had more Tommy Tuberville's in the U.S. Senate, we'd be in a better situation as a country right now because he is all on board for whatever President Trump wants to do. And who wouldn't agree with that? This one had me a little upset. I want you to listen to Josh Hawley because Josh Hawley is advocating for these food stamps to be reinstated and obviously funded for the over 42 million people who are currently getting food stamps. I don't understand how we have 42 million people in this country on food stamps. There's not that many disabled people in this country. And given the fact that you could work remotely from literally anywhere these days, it's really hard for me to understand this. I mean, I used to work 2 and 3 jobs, 6, 7 days a week just to survive in New York. So trust me, I understand the struggle. I know it's real. But why is someone who claims to be conservative advocating to get 42 million people back on government assistance? Shouldn't we be using this as an opportunity to help get them off this, help them turn to charitable causes so that they could feed their families? Take a listen to Josh Hawley and how he just doesn't sound like a conservative or a Republican senator at all. Clip three, take a listen.
The shutdown needs to end. And in my state, I can just tell you, it is really hurting real people. This is why I've offered a bill to pay those SNAP benefits, because people need the assistance, 42 million people. I mean, this is becoming a humanitarian crisis, and I think we have got to end this ASAP. If you're going to put me personally to the choice between providing food assistance to 42 million needy Americans or defending some arcane rule of the Senate, I'm going to choose people. So I would just warn my Democrat colleagues, if they think they can do this in perpetuity, we're just never going to open back up the government, we're never going to give people food assistance, we're never going to pay the military, that is not a sustainable position. And you're putting me to a choice between people and Senate rules, and I'm going to choose people.
It doesn't seem to make any sense to me why Josh Hawley is doing all of this. Folks, this is not a conservative stance, and I asked all of you on X how you feel about it. And take a look at the comments on this tweet. I know a lot of you guys were sounding off. You're quite confused, just like me, as to why we continue to allow Republican senators do just that. Take a look at the comments that are coming back in from this post. A lot of you understand where I'm coming from on this. We don't understand why this is all happening in the first place. And let me see. I'm trying to get it up right now. Taking forever. All right. So let's go down some of the comments. All right, MAGA Kristen. Let's see. Well, that's cute. He was on Bannon yesterday talking about how much he wants to take care of American people. Again, I'm okay with taking care of the American people. I think most of you at home are as well, but it's what are we doing here? And they keep saying people, not Americans, too. Very interesting note there. All right, let's keep seeing. Great again, just says what? Sick emoji. Again, we've got the problem isn't the 42 million people losing SNAP. It's the fact that 42 million people are on SNAP. Correct, correct, correct. He's not. He's a traitor. One more says. We got a uniparty meme here, like a little graphic here. I like it. I like it. So much more, guys. Follow me on X so you guys can weigh in on the discussion. We're going to keep digging into this. We've got so much more to talk about right after this quick commercial break, so don't go anywhere.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple. Tested. We sell it, get a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexshowstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He just hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own theauctionstore.com. It funds the Auctions Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of t-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, especially get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Not all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red, about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, theauctionstore.com. Thank you. We can't do it without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Thursday, everyone. We're excited that you're joining us today. A lot happening all around the country. We're keeping our eye, though, on the White House because today we're expecting to hear from President Donald J. Trump. He is expected to speak at the White House, making an announcement around 11 a.m. Eastern time today. So once that goes live, we'll bring it to you, whether it's actual live feed or an email that's sent out first before the video is available. That's what happens sometimes. I will make sure to bring that to you once we get it. So we're keeping you up to date with all the topics the corporate media is never going to tell you about. They hate talking about things that truly matter to the American people and that expose the corruption. One of the topics I wanted to kick this section of the show off with was Jasmine Crockett, because as many of you guys know, she is not a very likable person, although she claims that Republicans come up to her at the airport and say how much they love her, even though they don't agree with her politically. She tried to sell us on that one, but it's not the case. Jasmine Crockett has just been reported by a watchdog group, the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust filed an ethics complaint against the Office of Congressional Conduct, or with the Office of Congressional Conduct, against Texas Democrat Jasmine Crockett on Wednesday for allegedly failing to disclose financial information. Now, as many of you guys know, members of Congress are forced to report and disclose information regarding their finances. Congress members are required to file annual financial disclosures reports regarding their assets, debts, and income, in addition to periodically, you know, just their transactions and what's going on there. Anything that exceeds about $1,000 within 30 to 45 days. Now, while Crockett reported owning stock in at least 25 companies while she was a member of the Texas legislature, her federal filing covers the same period listed, but only lists three holdings, as her federal disclosures were missing debts reported in her state filing. Now, those are the allegations that this watchdog group are outlining today. Now, isn't that interesting? They're saying that Jasmine Crockett is not being honest and not reporting all of this. Now, it doesn't make any sense, right? Probably like a clerical error at this point, because why would you report it on a state level and not a federal level? Again, Jasmine Crockett, not the most intelligent person in the world, but this really isn't surprising. And I keep hearing these rumors that she's poking around to see if she should run for the Senate. Because, you know, they're trying to get rid of her district, of course. But Jasmine Crockett has, as you can see here, she's accused of building a stock empire. It must be nice. If you're struggling to get by, just run for Congress, folks. Run for Congress. You get all the best information, no accountability. And they let you do whatever you want. So continue to follow this watchdog group's complaint to see if it goes anywhere. But, I mean, it's likely it won't. They'll just be dismissive and say, oh, it was a little clerical error. No problem there. I want to turn to the terror plot we've been talking about for quite some time. Because last week, I mean, if you guys know, the FBI director came out and announced that there was a terror plot, an alleged terror plot that was inspired by ISIS, and that it was going to happen Halloween weekends. But we're learning more and more about this alleged terror plot. There was two individuals who were arrested in New Jersey on Tuesday. Acting U.S. Attorney for the District of New Jersey, Elena Haba, yesterday gave a brief summary as to what these two individuals are now facing, the allegations that are coming from the DOJ specifically. But the allegations seem to be a little bit of a reach. We'll take a listen to what Elena Haba had to say about that, and I'll get your reaction on the other side. Take a listen to clip four.
My office, working hand in hand with the National Security Division in my office, did just that and charged two individuals by federal complaint connected to the Halloween terror plot in Detroit. The first suspect is charged with conspiring to provide material support to a designated terrorist organization. The second suspect is charged with transmitting violent, anti-Semitic threats across the internet to individuals in the state of New Jersey and beyond. The threat of terrorism is real. When Americans are threatened, we respond fast, focused, and together. As alleged in today's complaint, from around October 4th, 2024 to November 4th, 2025, Tomas Khan Jimenez Gazelle of Montclair, New Jersey, and Saeed Ali Mareh of Kent, Washington, along with other co-conspirators, used encrypted messaging applications to plan travel to Turkey and then to Syria to join ISIS as fighters. In their communications, they discussed detailed travel plans, physical training, weapons including firearms and IEDs, and methods to avoid law enforcement detection. According to the complaint, they pledged themselves to ISIS and were plotting acts of terrorism in our country. The messages also included photographs of Jimenez Gazelle standing in front of the ISIS flag, holding a knife, and Mareh wearing an ISIS hat. The complaint against Milo Sidorat charges two counts of transmitting threats to interstate and foreign commerce. It describes a pattern of anti-Semitic messages advocating violence, along with images and purchases consistent with preparation for attack.
All right, as she continues to hover over the anti-Semitic angle to all of this, they left out a really big one. I want you to take a look at this. I did some document diving, and this was one that happened in that first round of arrests in Michigan. Take a look at these LGBTQ plus revelations that seem to pop up in the court filings. This is the two original ones in Dearborn, Michigan. According to their own documents, it specifically outlines that these individuals who they've alleged that they're all working together, that they were in communications, Well, it alleges that they were working together to possibly target the LGBTQ community. On page 40, we reported this obviously previously. Many of the clubs that were visited by the two individuals, we only know one as Person One, and as well as the Muhammad Ali individual, is outlined to have been two people who had gone around to different bars in the area, clubs in the area, and intentionally were looking at places like LGBTQ plus community gatherings. So places that the gays like to party at. And then on page 60, you have another one where it says there was a Discord chat known to be, obviously, be used by Person One. Again, I don't know who Person One is, but again, it highlights, I know that one of the members of the Islamic State of America group posted in the group about conducting a terrorist attack, possibly in Chicago, at their Pride Parade back in June of 2024. So again, time and time again, this is what we continue to hear. We continue to hear in the court filings, and I can't wait to see this complaint, of course, but they were targeting members of the gay community. And it's constantly being brushed off. And I'm surprised no one's even talking about this, because they continue to hover over the Jewish angle to all of this anti-Semitism that was spewed. But it sounds like, based on when you're reading the communications, that maybe they were saying some anti-Semitic things, but who cares when you sit here and look at the fact that they were just literally going after Americans, and they were specifically trying to target those that are members of the LGBTQ community. But they leave all of that out, and again, just focus on the anti-Semitic angle. I don't know why. We could do better. But that's what's happening right now. Now, again, we've done some digging into all of this. Specifically, the New York Post actually did a great job at this. I wanted to highlight their work. The two individuals who were just arrested in New Jersey, they actually did a deep dive into who they are. Gazelle, well, apparently, according to the New York Post, his mother, get this, is the head of the United Nations Women's Enterpriseship Program. And his father, apparently, is an Iranian-American poet. And he's a professor over at the Queens College in New York City. Gazelle has been with the UN for more than a decade, working on women empowerment projects. According to her LinkedIn, this is, again, allegations being made by the New York Post about one of those suspects that was arrested in this so-called ISIS terror plot. And then when you kind of go through it, you realize real quick that these are a bunch of, I would say, just well-off average Americans. The New York Post also reporting that one of their homes, Milo's home, is worth $1.2 million. And again, the photos just look like it's a regular kid. So I don't know what radicalized him, but I can tell you that there was apparently Discord chats that were being used. Which, again, the consistency that we see pop up all the time when we see radicalism taking over young people, there always seems to be some type of Discord linkage to it. Now, Discord, according to court documents, was very willing to give over all the communications that were needed by the FBI. So we have to say that. But again, time and time again, this is what's going on. Now, the other suspect that was arrested in this New Jersey arrest, trying to pull up the details for you real quick, he was arrested at the airport. Apparently, he was looking to leave, I believe the Post said, too. Trying to find it specifically. I hate the fact that everyone has all these ads. It's so hard to pull up things. All right, well, it said in here that he was found at the airport, that he was apparently heading to Syria. And that is when he was going to pledge his alliance. Now, he actually was scheduled to leave later this month, it looked like, but he bumped up his trip after realizing the other two in Michigan were recently arrested. And that's according to the New York Post article. That's what I read last night when we're going through this. And I can't see if it's here. Oh, you guys got it. Okay, good. So there you go. The criminal complaint ultimately refers to the five individuals, co-conspirator as minor, labeled Person One, the latter of whom was allegedly assigned to carry out the attack along with Ali, while the rest of the group made their way to join ISIS in Syria. Morons. Absolute morons. Imagine being radicalized online and then going out there and thinking that you're going to make your way to Syria to become a member of ISIS and come back to the United States and become a terrorist, as if we don't know how that works. These kids threw their entire lives away for what? For what? I would like to look more, though, into it. possibly reach out to them for comment because I want to hear from them. How do kids, like a kid who goes to Queens College in New York City, whose mother works for the UN and father is a poet slash college professor, how do they become so radicalized, allegedly? Again, we have our suspicions, but no surprise there. All right, speaking of not only the UN, but allowing radicalization in this country, the United States has proposed a UN Security Council draft to lift sanctions, which include travel bans, asset freezes, arm embargoes, on the Syrian president. Remember the guy who we won at one point had a $10 million bounty on his head? Well, now we're going to lift up the sanctions for him. We're advocating for him at the UN. Al-Shara, obviously, as many of you guys know, is the so-called president now of Syria. You know, the guy who allowed Christians to be slaughtered in Syria. Met with President Trump. And, you know, he's expected to meet with President Trump again on the 10th, it looks like. Yeah, so he'll be meeting with the president on the 10th, the first Syrian leader to visit ever. What hot trash. I don't even understand, folks. I don't even understand this. There's zero to gain here by advocating for this individual. The former leader, someone who we put $10 million on his head, of Al-Qaeda. And we're just rolling out a red carpet, letting him into our country and pretending like he's an actual president. It would be laughable if it wasn't such a tragedy. And we'll talk about it too, obviously, but President Trump now advocating for those. What a laughable headline. Syria's jihadist turned president seeks new allies. I have a bad word that I can't say, especially this early in the morning. It's just the level of stupidity. You know, one side of me really likes to see that President Trump is speaking out in Nigeria. I don't think we're going to have boots on the ground, so I'll say that. But I do like the fact that he's speaking out and he's very strong at that. The other side is like, what are we doing here? You want to sit here and advocate for Christians, but the reality of it is when Christians were being slaughtered in Syria, and they might still be, we did nothing. We didn't hold this guy accountable. We didn't demand that he protect Christians. No, we let it happen. We let it happen. And then Joe Biden, when he's pretending to be president, Joe Biden came out when this was all going down, when the violence was close to its so-called end, came out and was advocating, of course, for that guy to become a leader, saying that Syrians are finally going to have a shot at having freedom, having democracy. And then shortly after that, he came out and said, oh, sorry, we don't have time for elections. I'm the leader. Of course, all this was cooked up and pushed out by the Obama regime. Now we're just sitting back and waiting. All right, yesterday in France, there was a terror attack. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, I wanted to get to what President Trump has been doing on Nigeria. Yesterday, President Trump released two different posts on Truth Social speaking out about the genocide taking place in Nigeria. Again, it's great that he's doing that. I love that. This has been going on for years. He did it during his first term, but there was no action that followed. It so kind of fell flat. But now that he's back in the White House, he's doing it again. We're thankful for that. But I want to play clip 5 for you because this is the message that President Donald Trump had for the Nigerian government yesterday. Take a listen.
Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands and thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I am hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. That's a legal definition. When the Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide. What horrible numbers. Something has to be done. I am asking Congressman Riley Moore, together with Chairman Tom Cole and the House Appropriations Committee, to immediately look into this matter and to report back to me. And I mean, like, immediately. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. It's not only Nigeria. It's all over. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. This is not going to happen. The killing of Christians is not going to happen.
So you heard President Trump very clear there saying exactly what needs to be said. The Nigerian government needs to go out there and they need to push back. They need to stop this. Now, again, this has been going on for years now. Oh, by the way, the mainstream media told you at home that the genocide in Nigeria actually wasn't happening in the first place, and the president was making this all up. But I want to play clip six for you because Eric Prince is speaking out and saying, no, actually, now the Nigerian government is stepping up to the plate and going after these Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
I can tell you that the Nigerian government is very focused on this. They called an all-hands cabinet meeting this morning. It was delayed 3 hours because seven of the ministers were flying in from all over the country to be there in person. And I think they are looking for a solution. And so we'll see what they come back with. But I would be surprised if there's U.S. forces that get sent there. But President Trump holds a lot of leverage, and he has a lot of credibility with these leaders that when he puts his foot down and says, this must happen, that's the greatness of being a credible president, and sometimes loved, sometimes feared, but he's going to get his way on this. And the net result, I believe, is that the Christians are going to be in a much more protected situation 6 months from now than they are now.
Well, that is great news, news we would love to hear, of course. Eric Prince giving us that update. And it is necessary. This has been going on for far too long, and it's good to see President Trump stepping up to the plate. But there's Christians in Syria who are obviously also targeted as well. So let's not just focus on Nigeria. Let's save all Christians. All Christians. Folks, I just got breaking news handed over to me. It looks like it is finally confirmed. Former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, will not seek re-election. She announced this on Thursday in a video saying, I have truly loved serving as your voice in Congress. The 85-year-old also added, with a grateful heart, I look forward to my final year of service as your proud representative. Oh, man. Who am I going to go now for stock buying advice? She had the best one, her and Paul. Discouraging news for me, of course. Probably those at BlackRock, too, who followed her financial moves. But long overdue, 85 years old. Yeah, term limits, folks. And President Trump reacted to the announcement just a few moments ago. Take a listen.
With President Trump about this breaking news that Nancy Pelosi will be leaving Washington, he tells me the following, and this is a quote. The retirement of Nancy Pelosi is a great thing for America. She was evil, corrupt, and only focused on bad things for our country. She was rapidly losing control of her party, and it was never coming back. I'm very honored. She impeached me twice and failed miserably twice. Nancy Pelosi is a highly overrated politician. And so that is the first word, but definitely not the last word, from President Trump about this, because about 90 minutes from right now, we do expect to see him in the Oval Office. The two of them, of course, throughout his entire first term, had historic battles, whether it was over funding, whether it was over his impeachment. The two of them did not get along at all, but like many historic.
Well, that was well said. Good on President Trump. You know, I've had ex-boyfriends write better resumes and recommendations for me than that there. Listen, folks, I think it's hilarious. Hilarious that President Trump is so blunt. There's no reason to thank her for her service and pretend she's a good person. She was a horrible person, a corrupt congresswoman. And it's good riddance. Should have happened sooner, though. Should have happened sooner. Now, she did, like I said, make the announcement in a video. We have that video for you. We'll play it for you here. I just wanted to remind you folks that obviously she's not all there. So we'll play a couple of seconds of it and I'll jump in. Take a listen.
Dear San Francisco, we are fortunate to live in the most beautiful, remarkable place on earth. But the true magic of San Francisco, the San Franciscans. There's a reason why our city has always been synonymous with the future. Here we don't fear the future, we forge it. From the gold rush to the miracles of science and technology, our city has always been the cradle of innovation, buzzing with optimism and creativity. We are a vibrant and diverse city, home to hardworking families, diligent students, and heroic veterans, and the dreams of entrepreneurs and immigrants. From Chinatown to Japantown, from the Mission to the Fillmore, from Hunters Point to the Castro, North Beach to the Sunset. We are also resilient. experiencing more than our fair share of challenge. When the Loma Prieta earthquake struck, we brought in federal support that ensured we would not just recover, but reimagine the South of Market neighborhood. And of course, HIV/AIDS tested our city to its core. But out of our agony came action. Under the leadership of UCSF and San Francisco General, we pioneered comprehensive community-based care, prevention, and research. That very system served as a model as we wrote the Ryan White Care Act, which still ensures access to life-saving medical care nationwide. Fittingly, our city is home to the National AIDS Memorial Grove, a place of renewal where we remember the loved ones.
All right, I'm going to step in on this because, she's just wasting her time. She's leaving Congress, thankfully, not running for re-election. And that was the cliff notes behind that video. Nancy Pelosi is an evil woman, and this is great news to hear. It's a good way to start your day, of course. So good on her for finally releasing this and letting the American people know that she's out now. It'll be interesting to see, because many of you guys know the Democratic Party itself has taken a massive, massive turn to communism. So I wonder who's going to run for her seat. I'm sure it'll be very competitive with a bunch of liberal hacks trying to fight it out. And who knows? I mean, I know probably many of you at home couldn't imagine there being a worse pick than Nancy Pelosi for that seat. But it's likely, because it always gets worse, that it's going to get even worse. But good on Nancy Pelosi. Congratulations for your many years of service, if you want to call it service. 20 terms. 20 terms. Now, happy hour kicks off a little bit sooner. Enjoy retirement, you treasonous pig. All right, let's turn to something a little happier. Right now over at the Alex Jones store, we have 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and take a look around. I told you guys earlier this week, we just brought the Alex Jones signature blades to the store. Head on over. These make great Christmas gifts, and we have a limited amount. So when you head on over to the shop, make sure to buy it now just in case we run out. Obviously, supplies are limited. Plus, we launched last week Methylene Red, and that is also 25% off. So this is a great time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and get your Christmas lifts in as soon as possible. Don't wait. Now's the time to do just that. Also, just so you know, in case you forgot, VIP memberships are only $30 a month, and it's worth it because, well, you get $40 in store credit every single month, and also you are helping keep us on air. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we got a lot more to unpack momentarily. Trevor Loudon's going to be joining me in the second hour of the show, so don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, / 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at thealexjonesstore.com.
No!
that you're joining me. Welcome. I am Brianna Morrell. In case you didn't know, we're excited that you're here today. A lot going on all around the world. We're going to give you the very latest regarding the government shutdown. There's a lot going on over there with the FDA. In the second hour, we'll discuss that. Plus, there's a lot happening with food stamps. I can't believe it. Senator Josh Hawley is like advocating for all 42 million people to be brought back onto the food stamp program. You've been given this great opportunity and you allege that you're a conservative. So why not take it up? Why not sit here and get rid of the people who are leeches to the system and you don't actually need it? I want to keep emphasizing that there are people out there who don't need it. There are people who are disabled who need it. Absolutely. We should help them completely, especially if they're Americans, by the way, only Americans. I feel like I have to issue that disclaimer. But folks, it's just so infuriating. 42 million people in this country do not need food stamps. They don't. You don't. I've worked multiple jobs, 2 jobs, 3 jobs, 6, 7 days a week. You could literally work remote for at least $30 an hour anywhere in the country. There are so many customer service jobs to do just that. So again, I don't understand why we want to, as conservatives allegedly, put back 42 million people onto the food stamp program. You now have a perfect opportunity to trim some of the fat, to pull in some of those charities and make sure that they're doing their job and helping these families out. Let them do what they're supposed to be doing. It's that simple. You know, we are the greatest, most generous country in the world. But man, oh man, did we really drop the ball on so much. And right now is the perfect opportunity to purge those who are leeching onto our system, who do not need these services because they are capable of working. They've just decided not to. And we played the video for you last week. Remember all the videos of all those people on TikTok who were, oh, my mom had food stamps. Now I have food stamps and I'm too afraid to work because if I work, I might lose my food stamps. Matt, I want to turn to you because I know this gets me fired up, but how do you feel about this?
Pretty interesting numbers here. I was actually looking for how many SNAP participants are senior citizens or people who are, you know, probably not going to be entering the workforce for a multitude of reasons. And it looks like 7.8 million adults rely on SNAP. Mm-hmm. And what that is about 42% of eligible seniors participate in the program, which is compared to 83% of all eligible people.
Interesting. I mean, that I'm fine with. That doesn't really bother me as much because I think people have worked their whole lives and paid into the system if they have, you know.
And so what I'm getting at, yeah, is, you know, he could be going for, you know, a lot of those people. He could be looking at his constituents. You know, you look at his voting base, they are older people, right? A lot of people in the Midwest, right? He's got an aging constituency, that does rely on that.
Yeah, but he keeps saying 42 million. So I think when he says 42 million, because he says it in the soundbite we played earlier in the show, I think he's just kind of, like, I agree with you. Yeah, it's probably his constituents. And if it's the elderly, then yeah, I understand that. But the 42 million to me is kind of strange because it's not 42 million elderly individuals. Like you said, it's 7.8 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are elderly that I support. Cause how many of these people, you know, were used to relying on two spouse income or at least their spouse maybe have been the provider and then they passed away. That I'm totally fine with. We should help those people out. We should help those Americans out. But he said 42 million, which is kind of strange. It just doesn't sound like a conservative take to me. Now would be a good time to get rid of those people we played for you last week who are fully capable, obviously eating good. And,
I did also want to just make one more clarification. Sorry to butt in.
Yeah,
But these numbers, although this is current as of 2025, these numbers reflect the year 2023, fiscal year 2023.
Got
it. That's the most recent they can do.
Yes. That's Matt, guys. The voice behind the voice. I love when we get the control room shot in. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me, honestly, if it was just the elderly. But, I mean, he keeps saying 42 million people need food stamps. No, they don't. 7.8 million, yeah. I'd be on board with that. Folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. In the meantime, make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again.
I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, the second hour of the program. Trevor Loudon will be joining me in a bit, in about like 25 minutes. We have a lot to discuss with him in regards to the communist takeover happening right now in this country. We see it in New York City. If you think just New York, I hate to tell you, it's not just New York. It's happening everywhere. There is a socialism movement. That's what they call it, so it sounds a little bit nicer. But the reality of it is they're communists, and they are spreading their wings across this country. Georgia is next on their list, and Loudon will join us in a bit to discuss just that. I wanted to talk a little bit about the job cuts going on right now and the FAA, because they're doing a travel reduction as well, which is very, very important that we dive into that topic. But I want to talk about job cuts. Job cuts for the October totaled a little over 153,000, which is 183% surge from September. That's obviously very, very important, and 175% higher than the same month a year ago. Now, obviously, that was the government shutdown, probably very, very much likely causing that. It was the highest level for any October since 2003. It has been the worst year for layoffs since 2009. Companies in tech sector announced over 33,000 cuts. And again, I mean, a lot of these companies have contracts with the federal government, so it's very likely that that is also related. I want to turn to the FAA. I actually want to talk about this. This is important. The Federal Aviation Administration said Wednesday that it was taking extraordinary steps to reduce air traffic by 10% across 40 high-volume markets beginning Friday morning to maintain travel safety as air traffic control exhibits signs of strain during the ongoing government shutdown. The cutbacks stands to impact thousands of flights nationwide because the FAA directs more than 44,000 flights a day. And obviously that includes commercial flights, that includes cargo planes and private aircrafts. Now, again, we don't know what caused that accident we saw earlier this week in Kentucky. We will keep our eyes, though, obviously, but according to people I've spoken to, although they haven't made it official, I believe as of yet, that was a mechanical related issue. I also want to talk about this. The USDA revises SNAP reduction plan to provide more part benefits in November. Now, again, folks, this is the U.S. Department of Agriculture issuing revised guidance to states on Wednesday evening. Now, that will result in food stamp enrollees receiving somewhat larger benefits in November. Huh. The update disclose in new court filings for the reducing the maximum supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits by 35% instead of the original 50%. So again, folks, it looks like there's still going to be benefits going out. The agency is issuing, obviously, the partial benefits this month to comply with a court order requiring that the SNAP program funding still go on. I mean, again, this doesn't make any sense. It does make sense. They somehow, some way did have the funding to do just that. It's just, It's just a long, ongoing issue that we have. Now, also, I wanted to bring you the FAA specifics on it. We have clip 17 that I wanted to play for you. It details exactly what these reductions mean. So let's just take a listen to that.
And so for air traffic controllers, they received a partial payment in early October. The second payment, they got a big fat zero, no paycheck at all. Tomorrow, they get a pay stub email on what their next paycheck is going to be. And when that pay stub comes out, that is also going to be zero. So they will have gone a month without any pay. And what we're finding is that our air traffic controllers, because of the financial pressures at home, are taking side jobs. They need to put food on the table, gas in the car, pay their bills. By the way, I do not want them to take side jobs. I want them to show up for work. We have asked them to show up for work, but I'm not naive to understand that they're trying to figure out how they meet their daily obligations. And so because of that, we have seen staffing pressures throughout our airspace. Those who travel will see that we've had more delays. We've had more cancellations. And so we're going to talk about additional measures that we are going to take that's going to reduce the risk profile in the national airspace. And I'm going to turn it over to the administrator to do that. As he walks through what that plan is going to look like, I anticipate there'll be additional disruptions. There'll be frustration. We are working with the airlines. They're going to work with passengers. But in the end, our sole role is to make sure that we keep this airspace as safe as possible. The administrator is going to talk about all of the tools we're going to deploy. One of them, though, is going to be that there is going to be a 10% reduction in capacity at 40 of our locations. The administrator is going to tell you that this is data-based. This is not based on what airline travels, has more flights out of what location. This is about where is the pressure and how do we alleviate the pressure.
Again, as the secretary said, we've identified 40 high traffic environment markets. We'll be happy to share that later. We have decided that a 10% reduction in scheduled capacity would be appropriate to, again, continue to take the pressure off of our controllers. And as we continue to see staffing triggers, there will be additional measures that will be taken in those specific markets. Again, I think it's a holistic plan. I really appreciate the men and women at the FAA who have been working this situation from the get-go. I want to applaud the controllers who continue to come to work on a daily basis, keeping our system safe. But I also want to recognize the fact that the data is telling us we need to do more, and we are going to do more. And I want to reassure the American travelers that it is absolutely safe to fly in the American skies.
They're claiming it's absolutely safe to fly in the American skies. There are 40 airports that could be impacted by all of this. I'm just going to kind of skim through it without reading all 40 of them. Dallas Love, Ronald Reagan, obviously Washington, Denver, Dallas Airport, Fort Lauderdale. I mean, it's pretty much every major airport. JFK, LaGuardia, Orlando, Chicago, Midway, Memphis, Miami, and Chicago, San Diego, Louisville, Tampa. So pretty much all of the major airports could be impacted. No surprise there, of course. No surprise there, of course. So keep your eye open. If you're traveling anytime soon, don't do it. That's in my unprofessional opinion at this point. It's an absolute nightmare. I traveled on Sunday. I was flying out here with Southwest, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. So tread lightly. And I looked at the screen. It was all Southwest flights, too. And American was good, though. I flew American, and I had a good experience there. But this is probably going to affect everyone across any airline. So, you know, tread lightly. All right. We could talk about an individual in France who decided to plow his vehicle, sadly, into a group of people. A 35-year-old man who the media now is claiming, and the authorities are claiming, is a French national, apparently used his car to injure 10 individuals, four of whom remain in critical condition. Now, the suspect apparently shouted Allah Akbar during his arrest and attempting to ignite his car and set it on fire. French authorities do not believe, though, that this is an incident of terrorism. I don't know what you have to do for people to understand that you are a terrorist. Police received reports of several collisions around 8:45 a.m. their time. apparently was alone in a Honda Civic. Nearly 50 firefighters responded to aid the victims, according to them. Gas cylinders were located in the vehicle. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They won't give you the name. They won't show you the photo of the person who has been arrested for this. They just tell you he's a French national. What does that mean? Could mean that his family came to France. Last generation, he's now first generation. I mean, they just don't tell you these things. So anyway, we know that's intentional. We know it's meant to deceive the American people too, because we do it here in this country. They do it throughout Europe. They don't care. They don't want you to know what's actually happening because they want to continue to allow invaders in. So there's that. We could shift gears a little bit. Zoran Madani, you could talk about him. Obviously, this is a communist takeover in New York City. We all just kind of have to accept it, I guess, at this point, because no one's going to intervene. We're going to allow them to have access to the NYPD counterterrorism database. He's someone who became a U.S. citizen in 2018. Apparently, you could move to this country being full of hate, get U.S. citizenship in this country, and we just let you run for office. You could use our elections against the American people. You see, time and time again, why do you think Ilhan Omar was able to get in? I couldn't even say that, almost wanting to gag. She obviously hates this country. We allowed her in. Speaks highly of Somalia, the country that she allegedly had to flee because it was just so horrendous, the conditions, according to her. So she sought refuge here in the United States, but she hates us more than she, I guess, more than she loves her Somalia. Not just her, obviously, this scumbag, too. So Chris Cuomo, obviously, he is the brother of Andrew Cuomo, is out here calling out those who didn't support his brother and went with the communist, Zoran Madani. Take a listen to clip 7 and how he is confronting those Congress members who endorse Zoran Madani. Take a listen.
Socialism is on the agenda in New York City. And it's not just a word, right? It's a destination. You saw that piece in the Free Press, I'm sure, that they have their own playbook to take over your party and make it purely socialistic, and they picked a mascot who fills that bill perfectly in Mamdani. But you're okay with that because you supported him.
I did support him, but look, Chris, there are a lot of things people can call me. The one thing someone can't call me, a guy who represents Silicon Valley with five companies and 50-mile radius of $1 trillion and more, which is literally propping up the entire American economy, is a socialist. I believe in free enterprise. I believe in entrepreneurship. But here's what...
I mean, that's common sense, folks. Why did you back him? Why did you back him? You believe in capitalism. These people are just evil. Evil. They all fall in line, too. When the orders are given, they all fall in line. There's a communist takeover happening right now within the Democratic Party. It's been spewing and brewing there for a couple of years now. And now it's gone full public. Now everyone can see it. It's right in front of your face. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I mean, that's the reality. Right now, we have Zoran Madani about to be mayor of New York City, one of the biggest cities in this country, in this world. And obviously, if you're a jihadist, you love this. You love this. Because this is how they intend on taking over the West. If you want to map out how they're taking over the West, take a look at how ignorant voters in New York are. Makes for a great argument for repealing the 19th. When you look at the numbers, women from 18 to 29 were some of his biggest supporters. 84% voted for Zoran Madani. Now, when you look at the female side, of the male side of all of it, too, it's relatively high, 68%. But these women who are 18 to 29 years old, they are going to be the biggest victims of Zoran Madani. Because when the criminals come after them, when they try to do what they always do, fill up a woman on the subway, target them, try to sexually assault them, you're going to call 911 and no one's going to respond. No one's going to respond. But at least you might get free bus rides. No, they're not going to get those either. It was all a lie. It was all a lie. And they're going to learn a very valuable lesson the hard way, but... so will the rest of the country. And it's devastating because, again, those that hate this country intentionally brought him into this country for what you just saw unravel. We are dealing with a full takeover. Now, of course, you're Zoran Madani. You want to make it seem like you are really supportive of females in the workplace. And so all of his transition team are made up of women, apparently. Now, no word if they're biological women or women who still got drunk. But that's what they're saying right now, that he's got a female transition team. Can I just go off topic a little bit and tell you how much it really sucks to have a female boss? And if you ask any woman, any female that, they'll tell you the same exact thing. So you can only imagine how catty that all female transition team is going to be. I promise, if you have a wife, a daughter who is adult age, ask them, would you rather a male boss or a female boss? And you'd be probably surprised to learn that every single female will pretty much always say male. Mainly because women are just evil to one another. Sometimes, not all. All right, I want to talk about what's happening in Canada, because of course we're talking about there being a lack of follow-up when there's a crime being reported. Well, there's one woman who apparently lives in Canada, and she was robbed at her home when she was sleeping in the same bed as her child. The gunman, she's going to outline what they did to her. But she's alleging that they tried calling for police to come, and they were put on a bit of a hold. Take a listen to clip 15 and the crimes that she alleges were committed against her and her daughter. Take a listen.
Are you surprised that didn't deter them? Like, you did all the security, you had all the safety.
Yeah, but I realized that they don't care about this.
Maryam Alavina Sab brought her two daughters to Canada from Iran 7 years ago. She bought a home near York Mills and Leslie, which she gutted and redesigned herself. But last Wednesday, her dream home became the scene of a traumatic home invasion, a real-life nightmare she won't soon forget.
I can't live here anymore.
It was 3:40 a.m. when four masked suspects got in through her back patio doors. They went upstairs and into her 12-year-old daughter's bedroom, where Alavina Sab was asleep next to her child on a mattress on the floor.
I remember that somebody, you know, put the gun on my neck and asked me, where is the safe? Two men came to my daughter's room. It was the scariest moment.
Alavina Sab says given English is not her first language, she was confused. She eventually understood and told them there was no safe. But not believing her, they took her into her closet, which had already been ransacked. Then down to the main floor and to the garage, looking for a safe. The chaos all captured on video surveillance.
But they couldn't believe me, and they keep hitting me with the gun and, you know, hurt me and, you know, asking me, where is this safe?
After 6 minutes inside, the intruders suddenly left, making off with handbags, jewelry, and money. They did not take their Range Rover, despite the fact Alavina Sab says she offered them the keys. She then learned her 18-year-old daughter, who had been pretending to sleep, had called 911 while the thieves were downstairs.
She went to her bathroom and locked the door and called 911, but she said that she stays in the line for nobody answered the phone.
For how long?
4 to 5 minutes, or maybe 3 to 4 minutes. I don't remember exactly, but
she was on hold.
She was on hold. No one picked up the phone.
Alavina Sab is also upset that no one from police has offered her family support, except for the day of the crime.
I moved here for a better life, for a safe life, and I don't feel safe anymore. And I was thinking that maybe somebody calls me and asks me, do you need anything? Do you have any place to go?
In a statement to Global News, Toronto police say the 911 caller was answered after being in the queue for exactly 2 minutes. Officers were immediately dispatched and arrived 5 minutes later. Police say victim services was offered, and investigators will be following up with the family to ensure they have the support they need. Catherine McDonald, Global News.
Imagine just that. Imagine calling 911 and you're put in a queue. A queue! What the heck is going on in Canada? Oh, it was only 2 minutes. Well, a lot could happen in 2 minutes. And in fact, if it takes you 2 minutes to get to a call, chances are you're far, far behind. Now, listen, my heart is with that woman. That is absolutely shocking. And the fact that she's raising children, it sounds like by herself as an Iranian refugee, there's probably a lot more to her backstory. It probably is devastating. But this is what's going on, not only in Canada, but all around the world. Criminals are in power. They know that there is no law and order in several countries, Canada being one of them. They've been invaded. Here in the United States, we're dealing with all the time. But the good thing is, if you're someone who isn't a believer in the Second Amendment, you probably feel a little bit safer. You probably feel a little bit safer. Now, again, Canada, you got to wonder, how did those perps get that gun? My heart is with her, obviously. That's devastating, especially to have to endure that with your children. But man, oh man. People, another lesson to be learned. Imagine calling 911 and having to wait in a queue. Well, the reality of it is they might actually, during a terrorist attack, take down the 911 call centers all around this country. You cannot rely on law enforcement to save yourselves, your family. You've got to be prepared and ready to go and do just that on your own. Let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson. We could turn gears up a little bit to Spotify, because there seems to be a bit of a controversy given the fact that Spotify is running ads for ICE. The Trump administration is ramping up recruitment, obviously, for ICE. We've reported that on this show. They're looking to conduct mass deportations. However, some groups are pushing back against ICE running ads on Spotify. Move On, which is a George Soros-funded organization, has launched a petition urging Spotify to pull their recruitment ads. These petitions are labeled that the ads are offensive government propaganda. I don't think that's the case. I actually saw an ICE recruitment ad, by the way, on True Social. They're running ads on President Trump's social platform. I don't know if that's good or a bad thing, but they are doing that. Now, again, Spotify is one of the streaming services, and they haven't yet stopped. None of this has influenced them, of course. Now Spotify and other streaming platforms are letting ICE, according to the group, use the platform that people pay for entertainment and connection as ICE recruitment tactics. The George Soros group, who constantly finds creative ways to funnel their propaganda to the American people, not knowingly. Now they're upset because ICE is running ads, recruitment ads on Spotify. These people are so unhinged. They're so unhinged. Spotify should just keep running the ads. They truly should keep running the ads. All right. Yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw it, but in Minneapolis, the mayor's race, this is a bit good news, a bit of good news. Good news if you, I don't know, if you like don't want a, how do I say this nicely? If you don't want someone who hates this country getting a hold of another office seat. Jacob Frey might actually hate this office. The people in this country, but let me stop. He just won his re-election, defeating 14 other candidates, one of them being probably one of the most hideous individuals you've ever landed your eyes on, of course, Omar Fattah. Many of you guys know he likes to, scary looking face. As many of you guys know, he likes to wave the Somalian flag instead of the American flag at many of his campaign events because, well, why would you show the American flag? Your alliance is to a foreign country. Apparently he's an American, so what is he doing here? Look at that face. A little scary. A little scary. But again, this is kind of good news. I mean, yes, the mayor of Minneapolis was the one who was taking Anita George Floyd's coffin and then crying like a hyena. But it's still better than that guy. You know the good news? When I cover press conferences in Minneapolis, I don't have to look at that face. That's a little bit of an upgrade. Folks, Trevor Loudon's going to be joining us in just a few moments, of course, so don't go anywhere. We also want to remind you all that we're having the early Black Friday Cyber Monday sale right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. So head on over to shop and snag yourself some of the Alex Jones signature blades. They make great Christmas gifts, of course, and everything is 25% off over at the alexjonesstore.com right now.
But let me tell you about this right now. I've been begging for this from our big sponsor at Bigley. They came out with some badass tactical daggers limited edition and the trench knives. Those were very popular and sold out. But I said, listen, I don't want to just be t-shirts and supplements, you know, all that great stuff. I want to have the giant selection of every type of knife anybody would want that are high quality knife brands at reasonable prices. And they've done it. They've got a whole bunch of these amazing knives that have come in. The Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife, quick, flips quick, high-quality stainless steel, composite material, different colors, really an excellent knife. And you would pay this much for this knife or more in stores. And it funds the operation laser etch with my little signature, Memento, that you helped fund the operation at the tip of the spear, that you are the tip of the spear. So just so many of these knives. We're really, really proud of these. The Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Blade. Again, it just flicks right out. with your finger, so it's equivalent to like a stiletto or switchblade, but it's technically not one, so it's legal everywhere. The Alex Jones ring blade, and again, they're just calling them the Alex Jones knives. These are, I'm sure, calling these the Patriots or the Spartans or the Strikers or the Defenders. But the point is, it does keep us on air. That's a really, really, really cool knife. There's also the Alex Jones quick release blade, and by the way, they're all quick release, but this one's like really quick release. So be careful with the green one, the olive drab one. Really, really proud of these. Discover the Alex Jones signature blade lineup, rugged, reliable folders engineered for real-world demands. Each model combines premium steel, secure locks, and ergonomic grips for unmatched performance in the field, at work, or on the go. All chosen with the EDC Everyday Carry in mind, and Alex Jones' personal signature laser etched on them. And again, built like a tank, the Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife, and ready for real work. This no-nonsense folder pairs stonewashed 3.6 D2 steel blade with a grippy G10 for an EDC that won't quit. Ideal for demanding tasks where the reliability is non-negotiable. Deploy it confidently, cutting, prying, and slicing without compromise, or if you're defending yourself, stabbing. It does a very good job at that as well. Compact enough to pocket carry, tough enough for the field. It just goes on from there. We have the Alex Jones ring blade, compact 2.96 dual, almost 3 inches, ring fixed blade in a 14 CD2 8N built for retention speed with absolute control under pressure. The innovative dual retention rings and linen scales deliver positive traction and lightning fast indexing, engineering for high stakes scenarios, which every second matters, lightweight and precise for tactical or urban EDC. Then there's really, this one's got to be my favorite, the Alex Jones quick release blade. And I selected these. I said, these are the types, these are the companies I would go with. These are quality, but also at a decent price. Lightweight, lock solid EDC with smooth shaft, lock 3.4 inch D2 steel, made to slice clean and carry easy all day. One hand operation shines as its axis style lock and slim profile, offering confident grip without the bulk. Your go-to effortless deployment and all-day comfort in pocket or pack. And there's more. Get them now. Limited runs. The AlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates of high-quality products and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide. Also, 25% off store-wide on top of all the other sales. Ultramethylene Blue still available. Ultramethylene Red sold out.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you all joining us today on this beautiful Thursday morning. We've covered a lot of stories so far, but I wanted to focus in on the commie takeover that's taking place right now in our country. It's been going on for quite some time. Not many were aware of it. As somebody who followed New York politics and was in New York, I kind of spotted it back in 2017, 2018 when I was introduced to a group that was claiming to be a group of socialists, but I quickly realized they were communists, not socialists, and they were looking to destroy this country rather than make it a better place. But now the rest of the world is starting to catch on. They're realizing that people like Zohran Mamdani are just that, communists. And we tried our very best for months now to warn the American people what was coming their way, and how this is not just a New York-related issue. This is an issue regarding all of us. And so now, unfortunately, we are forced to sit back and watch and see how this all unravels in New York City. But it's not just New York City. They're looking to take their commie takeover everywhere. And I've told you guys before, too, it's happening in Atlanta, Georgia as well. But people like Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders, they think that this is the future of the Democratic Party. And it's not just me saying that and insinuating he thinks that this is the future of the Democratic Party. In clip 12, he literally says that Zohran Mamdani is now a leader within the political party. Take a listen.
After seeing the results of last night's election, you have said that this is not just a New York City thing, which some people have dismissed his win as. Do you think Zohran Mamdani is a leader in the Democratic Party now?
Well, of course he is. He's going to be the mayor of the city of New York.
All right. We can put that on a loop. The next presidential and midterm election, of course, because If Zoe Ramadani is the face of the Democratic Party, we are all in a lot of trouble. Joining me to discuss is Trevor Loudon. He's been blowing the whistle on all things related to commies. He is the commie hunter. He's an author, speaker, and filmmaker. His new book, God's Own Enemies, Socialists and Revolutionaries in New Zealand Parliament, is also now available on Amazon as well. Let me just tell you that. Trevor, I'm excited to have you on today. I know we had you on last time and we were trying to warn the American people about who Zoe Ramadani is. And sadly, so many people have looked the other way and are very dismissive and defensive when we call him a communist. They on CNN said that's supposed to be a trigger word. But that's exactly what he is. He is a communist. And the fact that he's trying to hide and pretend he's a progressive or use these lighter words is just a way to control the messaging. So your thoughts on, number one, Zoe Ramadani now officially being elected New York City mayor, and what does this mean for the future of major cities throughout the country?
Well, you're quite right, Brianna. This is not just a New York phenomenon. They have two members on the Atlanta City Council now, multiple members in Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, and many other cities all over the country. Plus, they have many people in state legislatures. The Speaker of the House in Minnesota is one of them. They are taking over the Democratic Party all over the country. And it's not just Zoe Ramadani in New York. He's got deputy mayor, Brad Lander, is also a DSA member, as are several city councillors, several state senators, several legislators, and a whole bunch of municipal authorities all over the state. So, from Rochester to Albany to whatever. And they're working with the Communist Party to do this. But the point you make is clear. Democratic Socialist America is a communist organization. It's as communist as the Revolutionary Communists of America or the Communist Party USA. It is full on 100% a communist organization.
Yeah, and so many people have been afraid to use that word, and I was excited to hear President Trump start saying that he is, in fact, a communist.
Yes.
I wish he did it sooner, yeah, because it really would have helped, I think. I think it would have woken up a lot of people in New York City, because so many people voted early. That's the first thing, too. So they missed out on President Trump calling it out, and now these politicians are starting to do the same. I wanted to play clip 13 for you. This is the very beginning of President Trump now specifically saying that Zoe Ramadani is, in fact, a communist. Take a listen.
You know, I'm so torn because I would like to see the new mayor do well because I love New York. I really love New York. When I left New York for Washington, New York was doing really well, but there were some bad signs. The bad sign was a guy named de Blasio. So the signs of de Blasio, that was the beginning, and it was bad. This one, we're going to look. For 1,000 years, communism has not worked. It just communism or the concept of communism has not worked. I tend to doubt it's going to work this time.
Did you see his victory speech?
No, it's literally never worked. Yeah, I thought it was a very angry speech, certainly angry toward me. And I think he should be very nice to me. You know, I'm the one that sort of has to approve a lot of things coming to him. So he's off to a bad start.
Trevor, I want to get your take on this because he was very angry in his speech. He started off with a very calm tone and then he quickly ramped up to a yelling tone, which is very common amongst communist leaders. They are very cruel, obviously, but most importantly, they don't shy away from it once they're elected. And he ran on the promise of free, 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 but now he's starting to back down a little bit from those standpoints now that he's officially won. What do you make so far of the transition? Oh, and by the way, we mentioned it before you came on, of course. He has an all-female transition team. What do you make of all of this?
Well, look, that wasn't a political victory speech, you know, that they always talk about unifying and coming together. Mm-hmm. This was a military victory speech. This was, we beat you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to take power. Bad luck for you. That's what all my supporters are going to get their rewards now. He will have big, long lists of DSA members, radical Islamists, et cetera, who are now going to get city jobs, and they will be in those jobs maybe for decades. This is a very, very transitional event. Now, we've got to remember, Trump mentioned de Blasio. De Blasio was very close to DSA as well, and he did a lot of damage to New York. But the worst one was David Dinkins in the early 90s, who was the worst mayor in New York history, they say. Crime went up, everything. Well, he was also a member of Democratic Socialists of America, a card-carrying Marxist. But he was way, way more moderate than Mandami. Mandami's going to be like steroids, you know, like Dinkins on steroids.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. And I keep reminding everyone, and I've tried to reach out to Homeland Security, too, on this issue. There's so many people in the NYPD who are deeply worried about this, mainly from the angle that this was somebody who became a U.S. citizen in 2018. They were plotting, though, back in 2014 to get him to run for mayor. So obviously that's 4 years before he became a U.S. citizen. But the reason why the NYPD is so concerned right now is, well, members of the NYPD, is because he's going to have access to their counterterrorism database. And that in itself is scary enough because we don't know who he's going to pass on this information to. And that's something that someone who of his stature should not have any type of access to. I mean, he is someone who did not honestly tell when he was trying to become a U.S. citizen that he was associated with the socialist movement in this country. When he begged to become a U.S. citizen, and he had these backdoor motives this whole time, in my personal opinion. And it's really unfortunate that we've gotten to this place where we have to normalize this. I want you to talk at depth a little bit more about the Democratic Socialists of America, because I saw it in New York. I saw local lawmakers, like you cited, in Albany, who were just completely radical. And even at the time, it was Andrew Cuomo. He couldn't even find middle ground with these people. They were just so far gone that he had to kind of loop them and bring them back in. But they were just waiting to take over the party. And it looks like so far they've done that officially in New York. It's not just New York, though. I have friends who are telling me that Atlanta is about to have another DSA mayoral candidate coming up real soon.
Yeah, okay.
What else is happening there?
Well, they've just elected the second. They had Gabriel Sanchez, who's a DSA member, on the Atlanta City Council. They've just elected Kelsey Bond as the second member. And, you know, they've got several people in the state legislature, and they work with the local Marxist Congress members and senators. So, yeah, this is happening all over the country. The DSA has got 90,000 members. That's about as many as the Communist Party had at its height. Plus there's the Communist Party USA, plus there's the Revolutionary Communist Party, plus there's Freedom Road Socialist Organization and many other groups, all who got behind Mandami. They had 50,000 volunteers. That's how they win these elections. They have volunteers, phone bankers from Seattle and Tucson and Minnesota, all phoning into New York, door knockers and volunteers from all over the country. So it's a nationwide effort. But the key thing about DSA, it is an umbrella group. It is every major communist group in America is also a member, also has members in DSA. The Communist Party USA does, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization does. They all have members inside DSA. There's a lot of cross membership. They work together. Plus, DSA is deeply in bed with the Communist Party of Cuba. They're constantly sending delegations there. They're very, very close to the communist government of Venezuela and communist movements in Latin America, Africa, and Europe. And they're now building ties with the Communist Party of China. So to say they're a democratic socialist organization is just pure garbage. They are 100% communist, as the Communist Party USA or the Communist Party of Cuba or Hugo Chavez. They're even an associate member of the Sao Paulo Forum, which was set up in the early 90s by Fidel Castro and the president of Brazil. It's 200 political parties, terrorist groups and communist groups in Latin America, the Sao Paulo Forum, and it was explicitly set up to recover for communism in Latin America what was lost in Eastern Europe. And DSA is a big part of this and is helping communists come to power in Latin American countries. So if they say they're not communists, they're just lying straight to your face.
Yeah.
Now, you ask a mafia guy, are you in the mafia? What's he going to say?
No,
I'm just in waste management. I'm just a restaurateur. No, he's never been in a restaurant in his life. He's a mafiosi. These guys are communists, straight up communists who want to destroy the government of America.
Yeah. And that's what exactly they're doing. I mean, the fact that they were able to get someone into this race who just became a U.S. citizen, I don't think most Americans understand how deep the planning goes behind this, the destruction of this country and what they are actually looking to do. I mean, I'll let you talk about that, Trevor, because that was really infuriating to me when I looked to see what his, what year he became a U.S. citizen. And I was shocked, okay, because I was listening to a Steven Crowder show, Mug Club Undercover, got footage of one of his campaign directors saying that back in 2014, this was the plan all along. This didn't just randomly pop up. And so I was like, well, why didn't he become a U.S. citizen? And I was shocked to hear that it was 2018. How do we fix our immigration system when we're importing people who hate this country or looking to take us out through our own election process like Zoe Ramadani?
Well, this is the thing. Pam Bondi should be revoking this guy's citizenship. You know, there's no question about this. Look, when I came to this country, I had, from New Zealand, I had to declare that I'd never been involved in any communist or fascist group that sought to overthrow or undermine the US Constitution. Mm-hmm. While Zoran Mandami joined DSA in 2017 or earlier and became a citizen in 2018, that means he neglected to answer in the affirmative. He probably said, he probably would have thought to himself, well, no, it's democratic socialist organization, but it is communist. And so he basically deceived his way into citizenship. He also supported the Holy Land, Foundation Five, the Muslim Brotherhood types who were convicted of supplying money to Hamas. They went to jail for many years, and he defended these people. So there's another strike against him. Had he declared all of that on a citizenship form, I guarantee you he would not have been accepted, or he shouldn't have been accepted. Raz Mayer O'Day in Chicago, a communist, was a citizen of America and was expelled because she neglected to inform immigration that she had been involved in a terrorist group in Israel back in the, a few years back that was involved in the bombing, supermarket bombing that killed two Israeli citizens. She got kicked out of the country for not declaring her membership and support for that organization. Well, Zoran Mandami is in the same category as far as I'm concerned. He should be expelled immediately.
Yeah, he should be. And it's kind of frustrating to sit back and watch and realize that no one's willing to intervene on this. I mean, they have perfect ground to do just that. And we keep hearing, you know, we had a member of Congress come on the show and he was, you know, pleading with the Trump administration to step in on this. He's trying to get people involved. But I'm very fearful.
Yeah, and Andy Ogles, yeah.
Yep, Andy Ogles. Yep, yeah. He's trying his very best.
Andy of Tennessee, yep. Yep, and good for him. He's one of the few that's raised this issue. It should be a no-brainer for Pam Bondi. This could have been applied for several years ago. That we've always known he became a state senator. He's, look, they groom these people, you know. They are grooming people now to be presidents, to be senators, to be congressmen. They've got four or five congress members now. They've got dozens of state legislators, dozens and dozens of city councillors. They basically control the LA City Council, the New York City Council, etc. So they are building communist power centers in our major cities. And that's going to have a massive impact on the economy of New York. You know, it's going to destroy the tax base. Businesses are going to leave. The only people who are going to benefit are the Florida realtors. But everybody else is going to suffer.
Yeah.
And they're going to set up a counter state in New York, a center for jihadis and communists to gather and organize against the federal government. It's going to be a revolutionary counter state. What Zoran Mandami just did was basically like storming the beaches of Normandy in World War II. It was establishing an enemy beachhead on American soil, just like American and Allied forces established an enemy beachhead in German-held France. This is a beachhead to spread the revolution all across America. And that will be not just peaceful either. There will be very violent elements to that.
Exactly, exactly. And he controls the NYPD now, and I'm sure he will not allow them to intervene when his group of individuals decides to start wreaking havoc and violence onto New Yorkers. We all probably know that's what's going to happen here. I wanted to switch gears up a little bit, though, before you go, Trevor, because President Trump is speaking out about the violence that's taking place against Christians in Nigeria, specifically, obviously, the Islamic terrorists who have been for many years killing and slaughtering and raping Christians in the region. And sadly, the Nigerian government hasn't done anything to stop it, but President Trump is now stepping in. We're going to listen to clip 14, and he is intervening now. Take a listen.
Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands and thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I am hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. That's a legal definition. When the Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide. What horrible numbers. Something has to be done.
Something does have to be done, and it's been long overdue. Your reaction to President Trump intervening and getting the Nigerian government to do something about this? Because if they don't, he's threatening to put boots on the ground.
Well, look, I know a little bit about this issue because I've been following Judd Saul's work for several years. He's a gentleman from Iowa who has done tireless work working amongst Nigerian Christians and bringing their plight to the attention of U.S. government authorities. He's done absolutely fantastic work on this. So now President Trump's getting very serious about this. The Nigerian government is getting to understand if they don't stop this, any trade deals with the U.S., any oil sales, whatever, are going to be in huge, huge jeopardy. I think this is a momentous occasion and a signal to the whole world, you do not slaughter your minorities. You do not attack people. You do not allow these things to go on. You've got to respect the religious liberties of your people. So full credit to Judd Saul, full credit to the President of the United States. Let's hope it doesn't get to boots on the ground. But it would be fully justified if it gets to that situation. The Nigerian leadership is smart. They're not going to let that happen. Yeah. They're going to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, yeah. And Eric Prince even saying that he doesn't think boots on the ground is going to actually happen. I don't think it'd be necessary. I think he could send the message very clearly without having to do just that and put American lives at risk. So this is exciting to hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he addressed it in his first term, but didn't really do anything about it. And so it's good to see now that he's readdressing this, and he seems to have a serious tone to this. And we look forward to continuing to follow it. Trevor Loudon, I want to thank you for joining us today. As always, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing and continuing to follow these commies, because it's so gut-wrenching that this is happening in our country now. But we love the fact that you are in this fight and bringing the very latest to us. So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Brianna. Thanks so much.
All right. Speaking of commies, Gavin Newsom, the commie running California, well, he's got his political goals. He is looking to run for president. That is what's being reported, of course. And James O'Keefe is on the task. He and his undercover journalist just caught one of his very own allegedly outlining the plan as to how he's going to shift over funding when he decides to officially announce his 2028 run. Take a listen to what this individual is outlining to one of James O'Keefe's undercover journalists.
So, is he going to run for governor? Yes, sir.
For president?
Yeah, probably.
I would vote for him. I'm skeptical of a Democrat from San Francisco running for president. He sounds very lefty, which is why he's doing things like saying trans girls should not be competing in sports. He's trying to appeal and make it look like he's not so bad.
So is he like fundraising for it and stuff like that?
He doesn't have any committees open right now, but that doesn't mean he can't open a committee later and transfer money.
Okay, so is he fundraising for anything right now?
For the ballot initiative top 50. We're very intentionally gerrymandering.
So if there's any funding left over from that and he decides to run for president, he can transfer it. And is that legal? It is. Wow.
Depending how you do things.
Nothing I dislike more than the politician that sits there and lies to you.
Governor Gavin Newsom of California has been all in campaigning for Prop 50. Proposition allows redrawing of district lines in California, potentially breaking up conservative areas and merging them into larger Democrat-leading districts so GOP votes no longer win seats. Well, in the past couple of months, many were speculating if Newsom is running a shadow presidential campaign under this new Prop 50 initiative, but until now, we didn't really have any evidence Newsom appears to have some type of national political endeavor, as even CBS's Bob Costa asked him about his national campaigning in red states.
After the 2026 midterms, you're going to give it serious thought.
Yeah, I'd be lying otherwise. I'd just be lying, and I can't do that.
With Newsom aggressively touting Prop 50 right before he potentially decides to run for the 2028 Democratic nomination, our journalist met with Ross Pike, a director of the California Democratic Party. Pike oversees all of Orange County, Riverside County, and San Diego County for the Democrat Party of California.
I'm the regional director of the California Democratic Party, and I just finished serving as the acting chair of the San Diego County Democratic Party, which is the second largest Democratic Party in the state of California. So I serve in the number two position within the party. I'm the only Democrat and only LGBTQ person to hold two offices simultaneously in the county of San Diego. I just got reelected this last 2024.
The California Democratic Party's director immediately revealed to the undercover journalist, he did not know that he was being recorded, that Newsom is not only the primary funder of Prop 50, Newsom is acting as its chief salesman, aggressively pushing it to the voters, potentially to later funnel those funds into his 2028 presidential campaign.
Isn't that funny when they don't know that they're being recorded? They seem to be transparent, and then when they find out they're being recorded, they don't have much to say, and they play the cover-up game. Well, this is the reason why undercover journalism is so, so important, between undercover journalism and just independent journalists out there talking to sources. This is what's going to save this country. We know what they're doing. There's no secrets anymore, and we're going to let the American people know. So another incredible OMG report by James O'Keefe himself. Folks, I want to remind you all that we have the 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. In case you didn't know, I've talked about it all week, but it's 25% off store-wide. Plus, we have those Alex Jones signature blades. Those just recently went up, and we don't know for how much longer we're going to have them, because once they sell out, they're out. And so if you're looking for a really good Christmas gift, this is what you're going to want to snag over at the alexjonesstore.com. And it's 25% off for this sale as well. I also want to remind you that we launched Methylene Red last week. That's what I've got in my cup today. Gives you lots of energy. Helps clear up some of that brain fog that we all know we have, especially me. And so I am a big fan of Methylene Red. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It's 25% off site-wide right for the holidays. So it is now time to snag all these incredible offers. Do just that over at the alexjonesstore.com. More happening in the next hour.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
Methylene blue?
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart. It removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding. Alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it, and now it's healed up on, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's great. I love how everybody in the Infowars audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? You talk about the wart. Other people have talked about, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
Oh, one more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. When Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market like Methyl Drive and Power Plant specifically I'm very proud of. It's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is I've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out the alexjonesstore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.
excited you're all joining us. I'm learning more and more about our vitamins that we have here at InfoWars. I'll share my secrets with you soon, of course. I just found out, though, breaking news, we're apparently out of methylene red. It's really good. I take it every day. I was joking, though. I've got my own bottle here. Maybe I'll sell it to you. It's half used, though, because I take it every day. We'll give it to you for an inflated cost. I'm just kidding, though, folks. You got to head over to the store right now. There are so many incredible items. Methylene Red is officially sold out. We'll get that back in stock, I'm sure, though, very, very soon. For now, I'm going to have to hug onto that bottle in the meantime, though. Folks, we are taking calls also in the third hour of the program, so in case you'd like to call, talk about a story that we've covered on the show thus far, or to keep it based on the topics that we've talked about, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We would love to hear from you, of course, about the stories we've covered thus far. I want to get to all the callers as quick as I can, of course, because I always see the call list, and we're always trying to just go from top down to the bottom. And sometimes, you know, we get a little caught up in a call, and I feel bad because I don't want somebody else to miss out on the opportunity, so we'll try to get through it as quick as possible, so give me a ring. A lot happening in the third hour of the show. There was a individual just recently arrested for election fraud in Kansas. I'll bring you the latest on that because, interesting enough, he was a mayor, and apparently he was illegally voting, even though he was, you know, he's a Mexican lawful permanent resident. He was voting in our elections several times. And so he was just recently arrested. I'll bring you the details on that. Plus, there's a biological man who apparently really enjoys using the women's locker room over at Gold's Gym in Los Angeles. He's facing those allegations. He's actually speaking out now about the issue because it took a really strong woman, literally and figuratively, to come out, call him out, and go after him for what he did. She made a bunch of allegations against him. He's speaking out, and it was very interesting yesterday as I was listening to the TMZ interview. They interviewed both of these people, and obviously, women, we don't want men in our bathrooms or in our locker rooms. It is disgusting. And so she was very, very fired up about it, and rightfully so. And he thinks that we just all need to get over it. That's apparently a woman you see on your screen right there. They want you to think that that's a woman. He's announcing, though, to TMZ at least, that he just started transitioning, of course, but he's officially, like, you know, changed his name on his license, and the gym has him registered as a woman, and so that should just be fine. It's not. Our female spaces are for us only, so we're not going to allow it. I mean, look at that. That is a man, folks. Have you ever seen a woman with arms like that? I haven't. Thankfully, I haven't. She zooms in. This girl is like MVP when it comes to fighting for women's rights. And these are the kind of rights that I want you guys fighting for, of course. I mean, it's insane. But look, she like zooms right in. She's like, he's got a junk. And he even admits that one time, and we'll play the clip for you, that, yeah, maybe she caught him once in a towel. It's so disgusting. She actually got kicked out of Gold's Gym, apparently. It's according to her. And she's not allowed to go back because she keeps confronting him. Who could blame her? So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. We also have an update on the Epstein case because, well, this apparently one of his cellmates is Jeffrey Epstein's ex-cellmate is speaking out and saying that there was a plot they wanted him to line up with in regards to saying President Trump was somehow involved. I'll bring you the latest on that because, of course, we've heard that type of story time and time again. And so it's nothing that we haven't heard. Plus, there was a father who sadly took his own life, and it was after his daughter was left in a car for, according to law enforcement, over 3 hours. She died of being overheated, obviously. It was 109 degrees was the temperature. It soared very high that day in Tucson, Arizona. But sadly, he was charged, and I believe he pled down to second-degree murder. Police showed up though at his home yesterday, and it looks like he took his life when he was supposed to report to prison. So we've got the body cam footage from that as well. But we're taking your calls, 877-789-2539. We'll get to that. We'll get to the callers as well. If you have anything to say about the topics we discussed, give me a ring right this second. All right, more to jump into in the third hour of the program. Don't go anywhere. I've got more to say.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, alexjonesstore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle of pills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Kicking off the third hour of the program with your calls, of course. So if you haven't done so already, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I want to hear from you about the stories we've covered thus far. So give me a ring. All right, I'm going to start working my way through the list. We're also going to jump in and out of stories, too. We'll kind of make it a little fun. First up on the call list is Matthew in New York. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to call in and say we're waiting pretty much for someone to come save us instead of getting involved ourselves. We're all pushed to vote either. You vote Republican or Democrat or independent, instead of taking the process in ourselves and running ourselves and getting involved locally, whether it be at the city level or the town level or wherever you're at, instead of actually waiting for change, it's like we need to get involved and take action ourselves. And until that happens, we're going to keep doing the same process where we keep voting these politicians in. Instead of having a government by the people for the people, we have a government by the politicians for the politicians. And until we get involved, nothing, I can't see anything changing.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on too, because I was someone who was, when I lived in New York, trying to poke around and see if I wanted to run for office locally. And the local GOP, it's kind of like a very clicky thing. It just doesn't seem to have people, average people who are voters in this country. And I don't mean average in a demeaning way. I mean the people who are actually voting these candidates in involved. I would say that's a great rule of thumb, too, because then they know that there's accountability. I mean, if people are showing up to their events, they know that they can't sit there and put their own corrupt politicians in or people who aren't qualified or try to run candidates with a bunch of people who have never led a quality campaign. So that if they see you showing up all the time, absolutely. And I think that's a great point to bring in on this front, because I see a lot of people are door knocking and, you know, they're trying to add more people to the voter registrations. And I don't know if that's really the way. I always say I'd rather have informed voters out there, a small group of informed voters, rather than a group of people who are just there because they're told to participate in our elections. And so, yeah, I think that we need to stop relying on that. Also, you know, my girl Mel Kay has that book, Americans Anonymous, where she actually, and she believes exactly what you just said, Matthew, that the American people need to get involved in the election process themselves. It's called Americans Anonymous. She says all the time, don't expect your government to save you. They're not going to save you. These politicians won't save you. They're only going to save themselves. And she outlines a good 9-step program for how Americans could get involved and help change this country and go about the change that we are all waiting for, of course. So, Matthew, I want to thank you for calling in. It's very insightful, and I like a bit of a positive solution, so thank you. All right, let's turn to Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome back.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about this scumbag, Zamdami. There's no reason to panic. If we go back to what Trump said the other day, mm-hmm. we will just arrest him, Donald Trump. Now, that is the solution. And these people have – he's even incriminating himself on TV. So the Trump plan, if he follows through with what he says, going to arrest these people. I'm still waiting for Pritzker and that mayor of Chicago to be arrested. And then 2 days later, Alex predicted it. So I out-predicted Alex on this. However, I'm waiting for Zamdani to be under the jail. And once you convict him of a felony, you can remove him as mayor. So Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like, and you know, I really hope, Art, that President Trump's listening to that one, because I'm so tired of people saying that they're going to vote, or that they're going to arrest and they're going to do all these, and we're not doing anything. We need to do that. This is not a good person. This is not a good person. And like you just heard Trevor Loudon outlining for everyone. I mean, Trevor immigrated to this country. He told you specifically what questions are asked of you. And he just outlined how the fact that, you know, Madani lied is what we all need to run with now. We'll keep following up and keep asking those questions, because at this point, enough is enough. I mean, we can't continue to allow this to drag on. This is not what this country was about. They're using our election process against us. And so, yeah, Bart, I agree with you on that front. Thanks for calling the show. Gabriel in West Virginia, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for calling.
I went on yesterday to the website to go find the methylene red, and nothing was there. So hopefully in a couple of days it'll be back. So
I'll give you this half-used bottle. Just kidding. I know everyone's saying that now. My producer just told me. He said that we're out. I'm like, what? I didn't notice that. But I've got this half-used bottle now.
Yeah, I heard you were talented, and I was like, hold on, I think I was sold out. So next time. Tomorrow's another day, man. I do a lot of B vitamins.
Well, that's good to hear.
I felt like I wanted to talk about the underlying trickle-down dynamic and paradigm with using religion and using an antichrist savior archetype in the form of the newly elected mayor of New York. And so if you look at the Fabian Society in England, in English academic dynamics, there's a very clear Fabian socialism trickle-down construct that's beginning to unfold and manifest. And so when you have these relations that begin to come forth where you have people that are down, that are hurt, and the prices go so far up, then you're going to start seeing these false saviors beginning to wind their way in. And so when you have the whining and when you have the winding and when you have people that are very flustered and they're very angry about a situation, then you really start to see the grabbing. And outside of, I mean, there's just so many ways that I see a bigger picture thing that's starting to unfold. And so what I wanted to say is how we go forth dealing with this situation and attempting to have grace and compassion and reverence for not only our fallen soldiers, but also fellow mankind, because when it gets ugly, and that's going to happen sooner than later, what we do to put our best foot forward to be beautiful, to know that we walk with Christ, and anytime we're in the face of something like this, they know very distinctly that when there's a satanic or Luciferian moon-based dynamic and they have a silver tongue and it all starts flowing out and everyone rallies behind them, man, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And when I talked to my guys today at work about it, we kept coming back to like, oh my God, well, we can't just believe that this is happening. Like in America, like in New York, in the New York that my grandmother grew up in and went door to door to talk to people about, let's elect this person and here's why. And so I just wanted to open up my heart and also share a function of what I'm feeling hurting in my soul. Like how do we, like, really, truly recapture those that are soulless. And when you see the Biden administration fighting for the soul of America, that's how you know you're dealing with demonic, satanic individuals, because they talk about a soul because they don't have one. And I am really wondering at this point, because last time I called, I was so upset because of the stabbing, because of what I saw happening in reality, realistically, calling and being upset and bitter about it and getting it done for me. Last time I asked, Alex was saying, like, well, we need to use the law to fight to go forward. And my point is, well, how can we as one person do that at the government level? Like, when do we rally and form a militia and say things have gotten out of control and we the people are coming together? And when do we really begin to move forward and how do we do that? Like, I don't know. I don't know what law to claim. I don't know really what to go and say. And so I feel as if I need to do something. And my voice is saying, I don't consent to the trickle-down, dogmatic, Islamic control agenda that's anti-woman, that's very kind of pro, any like all that stuff for me. It's just kind of eking its way in like a dark fog. Like it reminds me of those movies that you see from Disney when it just starts to come in and settle in. And I'm like, we all know New York is Babylon. We all know it. It's why Trump left there. And that's probably why you left there too, right? Last time I went to New York, it was so cold. No one would talk to me. Everyone's on their phone. And I just can only imagine what's happening behind closed door there, too. So thank you for hearing me out. I needed to get it off of my chest. If people go look at the Fabian Society, like, you're seeing it happen. You're going to continue to see it happen. And when they bring forth, like, when the Antichrist, which is more of a paradigm, and it's also a form, and it's this part of a zeitgeist that they're attempting to manifest in America. And there's a real simple solution for it, because when we pray for it and we pray on it and we bring our truth and our sovereignty and grace in the face of these demonic forms, they just fall apart and dissipate. But I'm with everybody else where my anger has to sit in the back seat and do nothing. And for me to go and say, hey, dude, you're not a female. Why are you wearing a dress in my library? That recently happened to me. And he's looking at me like, you can't talk to me like that. I was like, well, you can't parade around like you're a female and you're clearly a dude. Like, my little girl is so confused, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, where do we aim the ferocity and the intensity, and as the common man to be able to rally our word and our voice and our soul energy together so we can tip the scale? Because I'm right there with Alex. I'm like, dear God, please listen to the man screaming and saying and fiercely wanting to go, wanting to be a man truly and stand up. And it's like, well, where do we go? Why aren't people listening? If you don't see the socialism trickling in now, damn it, wait until we have more elections and they sweep all those elections. And their name is on the ballots twice everywhere you look, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, what do we do? So thank you for hearing me out, man. I'd love to hear anything you have to say in that arena.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. That was well said, I have to say. You did a great job at explaining all of it. Now, Gabriel, I mean, like, here'd be my top things, right? I talked about it a little bit in the opening of the show. I think that, and I love my relatives, my family members very, very much, but when I talk about politics, which they never want to talk about, they tend not to know the things that I know. And I know them because it's in my algorithm. It's on my TV. I am around that media that exposes me to certain things. And strangely enough, there's a lot of people out there. If you mention the words Arctic Frost, for an example, they have no idea what you're talking about. So here's what I think about that. I think there's a lot of people out there who don't know the truth. They don't know what's actually going on because they have been sheltered, and it's intentional. It's brainwashing also. They don't know all the facts. So how do we do this? Well, my lovely siblings sometimes don't want me to talk about politics, but I still do. I still mention the fact that Joe Biden was creepy. He was sniffing children's hair. He bit a baby. They never saw any of these things and were kind of like, what are you talking about? You're making stuff up again, Brianna. And yeah, I don't want to talk about politics. And I just keep pushing and showing them the clips. And you just have to do that. I mean, you have to show them by example. I think that they mean well. You know, I was on Tim Pool's show, and we kind of got into a little bit of a debate about it. But I don't think that everyone across the aisle is evil. I think we have a lot in common. They just have a different way of making this country a better place in their opinion. But they don't realize that we're not dealing with just Democrats. People with like a little dispute, and we're dealing with the communist takeover. And so I think you have to go out there and remind them and tell them what's going on, because they have no idea. I mean, they have no clue. Arrests and going through the law system, I think, is a great way to do it. But the reality of it is it constantly lets us down. I think educating people, I think Democrats knew exactly what they were doing when they infiltrated and obviously infiltrated schools, obviously running the Department of Education. They knew exactly what they were doing. And just a little reminder, today's November 6th, and there's not been a single Democrat arrested from the Obama-Biden regime. I do that every day. But I try to remind everyone. So there's a lot to be positive about. And, you know, then I will post a picture of my dog online. Like, I try to be positive, but then I also try to bring truth to people. And so I think we have to do just that. We have to find our balance and do that. Because I say it all the time, I was a registered Democrat after I got out of high school, because before I was even 18, they gave me a voter registration form in New York and told me just to fill it out. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I was an ignorant voter. But when you start going through the facts and you start learning about a lot of things, you realize, wait a minute, none of this is true. So having debates with people, my dad questioning my political beliefs when I was a teenager, pushing back on those things, I think that helps. Also, raising your children in church. That's definitely a big one. Thanks for calling, Gabriel. Also, you mentioned, I want to talk about this. We'll go back to calls in a moment. So if you're on the line, stay on the phones. Don't hang up. We're going to be doing this for the next 30 minutes. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, since you brought it up, men in dresses and how they feel like they're men. It's a creepy perversion. They want us all in on their little sexcapades, I guess you could say. There's this issue going on right now with the Gold's Gym, and it caught a lot of people's attention because this woman who's from the Bronx I know we're very loud as New Yorkers, but she's loud for all the right reasons. In clip 9, she's going off and sounding off about a man who's she's repeatedly allegedly caught in the woman's locker room. Now, again, he's claiming that he's a female because, well, he's registered as a female. But take a listen to clip 9 and how fired up this woman got.
Adults, men, grown men with big in the women's locker room. And that's why I'm getting kicked out. And I want to make sure the girls know. Everybody saw that man in the locker room. No one's saying shit. And I'm done with it.
Okay, so obviously, I love this woman, and I love the fact that she's standing up for her right to not have to endure that level of abuse. She's posted several videos on social media exposing this biological man for exactly what he is. Now, I'm not going to play games and pretend like he's a woman. He continues, and TMZ did it yesterday during their interview, to pretend like he's a woman. He's not a woman. He's a biological man. There's many who have posted who he is. They've also posted the fact that he's a convicted criminal. I saw this from Libs on TikTok yesterday. She is alleging that apparently he was arrested multiple times for drug trafficking and domestic abuse. Surprise, surprise. But now he's claiming just recently he started undergoing this transformation where he now thinks he's a woman because, well, he's gotten a couple of facial hairs plucked off his face. Take a listen to his interview he did in clip 10 with TMZ yesterday.
Well, first, I told the people that raised me that this is the way that I was when I was 8 years old, and really, I stuffed it down pretty deep, and I began using hormones this year in February, and I actually relinquished that information to her about, you know, name change, and it says female on my ID and hormones, and, I mean, I'm registered as a female with the gym, so.
And were you at that moment, because she told us about a couple of different encounters, were you fully clothed at that moment?
Well, she has become aggressive with me on 4 different occasions, actually at different locations in Los Angeles at Gold's Gym. But, fully clothed. I believe I was enrobed in a towel on one occasion. And this last time I was clothed the entire time.
Okay.
I apologize if this is too graphic, but I just think it's important. Have you?
Let's speak truth, baby.
Okay. Have you fully transitioned?
Be clearer when you say that.
Your genitalia.
That is a process that requires a quite lengthy work. Like, for instance, I sat in a chair and had hair follicles removed from my face for 2 hours yesterday in a process called electrolysis. In order to have that surgery down there, one must have every single hair done that. In order to do that, it would take a year or two to have that done. It's literally not even a possibility with where I am in my transition. So, but about the bathroom, am I entitled to it? I know that I'm a woman. Should they have built another one to necessitate building this room? People would have to have the level of comfortability within themselves that I do. Not everyone possesses this much self feminine power. It doesn't happen. Not in this patriarchal system of which we've been living for so long.
It's the patriarchy. It's the patriarchy, and he has so much feminine power. You know, it's feminine power. Women have feminine power. You are a creep. You want everyone to convert to your creepy perversion. You want everyone in on this little sexual thing that you enjoy doing. But we're done with this. We're not going to sit here and entertain this and pretend like Gold's Gym has to make a third kind of locker room for perverts. That is a man. That is not a woman. He is obviously just mentally unwell. We're not going to change our society because, well, this dude thinks that he's a woman. You're not a woman. No woman would behave this way. No woman would act this way. No woman would wear an outfit like that. They know it's disgusting. But yet here he is, a biological man who obviously has a lot of issues, running around the gym, making women feel very uncomfortable, obviously. Many are cowards and are afraid to say that. I'm not. These are the kind of people we don't want in the women's locker room because you're a pervert. You're a pervert. So good on her for speaking up. More women need to do just that. All right, we got about 3 minutes left, so I'll take one more call, then we'll take more callers on the other side of the break. I want to go to Josh, it looks like. Josh, what's going on, my friend?
Thanks for taking my call, Bree. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Awesome. Love the show. Love you. Followed you for a long time before you got with Alex. Great combination. Just, you're killing it.
Thank you, Josh.
First, with the Mondami election, I think we missed out on a great branding opportunity. We should have been calling this guy Zoran Damn Commie the whole time.
I like that. How did you beat President Trump today? He's usually pretty good with the nicknames.
Yes. It's just insane. I cannot believe that the state of America, we have a communist Muslim running a major city in America. It's insane.
Yeah.
I got a few other points, whatever you want to talk about, but the Civil War, I mean, I feel like the ball is already rolling down the hill. It's coming, and we can either be in power like we are now when it happens, and we can gear this thing as peacefully as possible towards a resolution here and coming together as America, or we can wait until the Democrats are back in power and we all wind up in camps.
Yeah, we're not too far away. That was the original plan. I mean, if President Trump didn't win, that's where we're going to be. Yeah, I don't know how much longer we have, honestly, though.
We're really a year in. I love Trump. I love a lot of the things he's doing, but it's just, it all kind of seems like the sideshows. We're winning the sideshows, but we're losing the major battles and we're losing the war. And we only have 3 years to turn this thing around, and it just seems dire. I'm here in Missouri, and that's another point I was going to make. I really think anybody that can, if you have the option, if you have the ability, you need to move to a red state. You just need to be in a solid red state. I'm here in Missouri. I love it. It's great. Mm-hmm. I don't have all these problems that I see, from these major cities, these Democrat-run cities, the homelessness, the poverty, the illegals. Like, I'm loving it in Missouri. I'm never leaving Missouri. It is fantastic here. Gun rights. I mean, all of our leaders are just wonderful here. You got to get to a red state. You just have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people, I 1,000% agree with you on that. We need to make red states stronger. We need better politicians to come out of there. I mean, here in Texas, we're okay. I mean, we're not great. I don't think we're Missouri strong. We send a lot of rhinos to DC. We obviously are responsible for Jasmine Crockett getting elected. So we've got our issues too. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, obviously I left New York, came here. Came to Florida originally, but living in a red state is very, very important to me now these days because these blue states are just miserable. I mean, I don't know a single blue state where you could find actual people there who are not miserable. They just don't see that. I want to thank you for calling in, of course, Josh, because we're about to hit a commercial break. But folks, if you're still on the line, stay on the line. We're going to take more of your calls into the next portion of the show, of course. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. That means it's 25% off site wide. Yesterday, we just launched the Alex Jones Signature Blades. Those are in. They will sell out fast. As you know, Methylene Red has officially sold out. But there are other incredible items, too. So get these blades while you still can, of course, and make a great Christmas gift over at thealexjonesstore.com. And they are 25% off today. So head on over to the store and make sure you snag yourself some Christmas gifts. We'll be right back.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. We're already selling DVDs and films and books and, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it, get a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He's hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of T-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear, we have the Trump gear, we have the InfoWars gear, we have the Alex Jones gear, we have the comedy gear, we have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts, we have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Got all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days that started a few days ago of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto shipping. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you. We can't do it without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So.
Amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills too.
You like both? What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Show, we're excited that you guys are all here for the third hour, of course. We're going to be digging into your calls in just a moment. I will be answering a bunch more on the list in just a second. I wanted to remind you all that I did talk a little bit about this story, so let me just give you a little background. We have another update on the Jeffrey Epstein story. One of Epstein's ex-cellmates is now claiming that federal prosecutors, were trying to offer him complete freedom if he falsely implicated President Donald Trump in his crime. The alleged individual is Nicholas Tartaglia. Sorry, guys. Prosecutors reportedly said that Epstein wouldn't need to prove Trump's involvement, just say it, because Trump's team couldn't disprove it, and that the FBI were her people, not his. Now, if you're wondering who he's alleging, the offer allegedly came from Marine Comey, who has now been fired from the Department of Justice. That's James Comey's daughter, in case you're wondering. Now, just to kind of give you a little insight here. The individual who is making these allegations, Epstein's cellmate, is serving life for a quadruple murder. The DOJ apparently declined to comment on the issue. Comey could not be reached as well. She was fired in July of 2025 of this year. Now, the only reason why I'm mentioning this to you, obviously, this is a guy who's been you know, convicted of a quadruple murder, so tread lightly here. But I'll say this, sounds similar to what Enrique Tarrio told me. DOJ wanted him to implicate President Trump as the person who was orchestrating through him and through a third person January 6th. And when Tarrio said no, they sentenced him to 22 years in prison. So there's that little nugget for you. All right, let's jump back into the calls because there's a lot of you in the line. We'll just keep going down the list. Giovanni in Chicago, we'll go with you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'd like to bring up something regarding a ex-Nazi camp guard that was deported from the Cleveland area about 20 years ago. Alleged he was a Nazi torturer, and they held a trial for him in Germany. Now, if they deported him at 95, why ain't they deporting George Soros at 95? In fact, Orban, president of Hungary, would like to get his hands on him. That's where his crimes were committed, when he worked with the Nazis. So he had to lie on his form to become a citizen here, and yet he's still hanging around. Ilhan's hanging around, and now they're talking about Mandami. Bondi isn't going to do anything. She should be kicked out of DOJ immediately. There's no 6 months grace period. She's not doing her job. She's doing damage. Mm-hmm. So I think she's a big bottleneck.
Yeah, well, I think that's why they've got Andrew Bailey lined up over at the FBI right now. You haven't seen him, but he is the co-deputy director for the FBI, and I think that's just to read in all these cases, and then once Bondi doesn't do what she's supposed to do, it's a quick swaparoo. So I don't think you're wrong there. I think you're spot on, and we appreciate you calling into the show today. Yeah, it's time to get serious with these issues. It's time to get real serious with this because we're limited on time. We've got a very small window to make these things happen, and Adani shouldn't be in this country in the first place. He hates it so much, might as well help him get him out. So thank you for calling. Tim in California, you want to talk about Gavin Newsom, I hear.
Well, yes, because, you know, it's sort of related to our other friend, Zoram Mamdani. You know, if you live in California, you've seen this coming for a while. He's been measuring the drapes at the White House for a while. But he kind of reminds me of Max Headroom. You may not even remember that character, Max Headroom. Mm-hmm. But he's just really stilted and jittery, and he's all animated with his hands. But the one thing that happened during the fires, they kept showing him going to these fire scenes in L.A., and every single time he would stand there with his blue jeans, and he'd have both of his hands in both of his rear pants and both of his back pockets. And I'd always heard the expression, somebody that can't find their ass with both hands, but I never really understood what it meant. But it didn't just happen once. It happened repeatedly. I mean, this guy, multiple locations, kept putting both his hands. Can't find his ass with those hands. I'm sorry not to be so crude on your show. I'm sorry.
I like it, Tim.
But you know, he started with $100 billion surplus in 2022. And I think we're upside down, last time I looked, like 30-something billion. Mm-hmm. And he overestimated the income by $165 billion more. So this is just another train wreck, only he actually might go for the White House.
Well, I mean, he can't run. That's the good news. But, like, going after – oh, you talk about Gavin Newsom. Sorry. Well, he has a foreign accent.
Yeah,
I don't
– he's worse. He's worse. Almost.
Yeah. I mean, they're all pretty bad. I think he's going to try. I mean, he lives in a delusion. Does he not know that the American people know what he did in California on several different occasions? I mean, obviously the pandemic was pretty bad, but the fires, and how he's just suddenly now building affordable housing. Oh, that was a miracle. You know, we knew that was happening.
And the homeless situation, remember? He was going to spend all these billions of dollars and solve homelessness, and instead it just got 15 times worse. It was like, okay, great. Congratulations.
Well, I mean, Tim, I could just kind of piggyback as a New Yorker too. One of my beats was obviously New York City. I talk about it often, but there was Governor de Blasio, Mayor de Blasio, and him and his wife were running a program that was supposed to reduce the amount of homelessness in the city. I think they were handed way over $1 billion, and when she was called in front of city council, she couldn't account for 750 million of that. And the homeless population has absolutely ballooned in New York City. So if the DOJ wanted to actually do its digging, it probably should start there. I mean, if you want to squash a potential Newsom run in 2028, I'd probably start there, because I'm pretty sure there's probably some pay-to-play schemes. If you did some digging, maybe someone in their family got a nice chunk in a contract. There's usually something there when they throw a bunch of money, hoping you can't track it down. So, yeah, I mean, I'm on board with that, Tim. It's insane. These people belong in prison.
If you can't find it there, all you got to do is look at the train thing they've been playing around with for the last 30 years. You can find lots of grip there.
Yeah, and I believe that was federal dollars, wasn't that?
I mean, just you know, untold tens of billions of dollars, and yet they can only lay like 100 yards of track in 30 years. It's like, okay, I got it.
Yeah, it's all scam. That, and if you follow all the green new whatever stuff, I mean, again, my college actually in upstate New York, they built all these solar panels all around, and they've actually never been operational. And it was, of course, a business deal done with a Chinese company. That's what our money went to there. Tim, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. The scam is real. The scam is real. All right, let's go to our next caller, Jeremy in Miami. Welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hello.
Hey. First of all, hey, you're doing a brilliant job. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, what I wanted to talk about, oh, damn, ma'am, Downey, this freaking guy. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, what? How is this even legal? Is this legal?
Nope, I don't think it's legal. That's why you need a DOJ that's going to be aggressive. You need an immigration services that's going to be aggressive and get him pulled, because, you know, he shouldn't, this isn't legal. He shouldn't be able to be in this position.
I think we should arrest him, arrest Pam Blondie, arrest them all. Like, and what the hell is Trump doing? Like, you know, I'm starting to feel like this is a Trojan horse scenario. Because I'm like, how's this guy letting all of this garbage go by? It feels like he's a part of it. I mean, does it not seem that way to you?
So from the Trump angle, I think he probably gets really bad advice. I think people who are close to him give him really bad advice. And I think he liked Pam Bondi because they did have a personal relationship. I've seen her pop up at his events before, and they were obviously friends. So I think for her, or for him, when Matt Gaetz wasn't allowed to be the AG because he couldn't get confirmed, I think he thought he was going to bring a fighter in. But I don't think he paid attention to her work in Florida. She was not aggressive at all, and in fact allowed a lot of things to slide that shouldn't have been able to slide. Was a supporter of red flag laws, was a George Zimmerman trial, was putting a fake witness, one journalist reported on the stand, and so she's never, obviously, the Jeffrey Epstein stuff too, so there's a lot there from that front. So definitely not the best person. I want to thank you, Jeremy, for calling in, of course, but definitely not the best person to jump in that type of situation. You know, I think President Trump kind of sees it when he has Andrew Bailey's the runner-up. It seems like, to me, everyone I'm talking to says that that's the case. I think he's probably getting ready to figure out when's the best time, because you're obviously going to cause a lot of damage when you pull AG Bondi out. That is a friend of his. I still think he thinks highly of her. We're still waiting for his announcement, too, by the way. I don't know if that's popped up yet. But, yeah, it's been pretty interesting to sit back and see. Jeremy, thank you for calling. All right, I want to go down the list still. We're waiting to see more on that announcement as well. But let's turn to Sarah in Knoxville. Because, Sarah, I hear you have a lot you'd like to discuss, so welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Thanks for taking the call. Okay. I just wanted to talk about what Alex was discussing on a show yesterday about the threat of Islam. Mm-hmm. I listen to him every day. I listen to you every day. I listen to Candace every day.
Thank you. And
last night, Candace was, I think it's an oversight on her part. I agree with most of everything she says. Mm-hmm. But she was kind of joking that Islam is more of a threat than Israel. And I think, you know, what Alex said, they're two different beasts and they're both threats to the West. And I posted in a Facebook page of a Candace group, and a lot of Catholics, not all, were defending Islam and saying that it's similar to Christianity. So I was just wondering what you think about that.
Gosh, I don't even know how that's even possible. You know, I keep telling people to read the Quran for themselves. Maybe they haven't read. or you don't even have to read. You can just Google, literally Google the Cliff Notes. There's about 109 verses in the Quran that many have deemed as violence against non-believers. Now, I don't know of any of that being in the Bible. I don't know.
Right.
We don't preach violence. We also don't, and I know it's in the Quran as well. We also don't justify rape. That's in the Quran. They justify holding non-believer females captive as if it's a reward for them and sexually abusing them. Again, that's not in the Bible. That's a hard, hard thing to make that argument. Maybe they just haven't read for themselves. I mean, there's so many incredible people out there who have done the work and have mapped it out. And so I think anyone who is saying that, I mean, I think you should refer to them, to the verses in the to the Quran, I mean, because there's no similarities there. I actually don't even deem it to be a religion. It's filled with violence. You know, there's one, and there's another thing too, right? So if a Christian were to carry out a terror attack in the name of Christianity, which I don't think we've ever seen, I've never seen it in my lifetime, we would obviously all come after and say that's not acceptable, that's not what the Bible says, and we'd go after that person. But you don't hear that when you see an Islamic terrorist attack. I could remember vividly the New Orleans terror attack that happened on New Year's Day. That individual, although he was American and used his vehicle to plow into people who were there celebrating, the so-called mosque he belonged to in Texas, I believe, actually put out a Facebook message to their members saying, don't speak to the law enforcement, don't speak to the FBI. And so again, that's not something that we do. So I don't know what type of similarities they see. I would be interested in hearing from them on that. But I would point them in the direction of, here are the verses. If you just Google it, the verses that preach violence against non-believers in the Quran, it's outlined. And there's no justification for that at all. Now, those who sit here and say, oh, like Islam isn't as big of a threat as Israel is, I would just say that we could sit here and I could cover both. I could cover everything. I could tell you that Islam is a threat, and they have this plan mapped out to conquer those in the West. I could tell you that. And we could also cover other things, too. So we could keep our eyes focused on multiple different angles. We don't have to just pick one. And time again, you know, I get people who come after me or who want to debate me on the issue. And I'm like, I'm not telling you not to look away from anything. I'm telling you that this is what I'm seeing here with Islamists, jihadists all across the world. We need to pay attention to that because it's popping up in our own country. And yes, I understand what everyone's saying and what they deem as, in their opinion, as Israel's a threat, but we could, and we should, and I'll let you have the final word on this, Sarah, we should pay attention to everything.
Right. And I think just looking back at the history of how Islam spread and the violence that took part in that sparked the Crusades, and how they treat women, and not all Muslims are bad. I mean, even Muslims called into Alex's show and agreed with him that what's going on is not good in New York. And not all Jews are bad, but I think it's kind of concerning, and it just shows what we're up against as we get loud and aggressive nonviolently to fight. And what Larry Pinky was saying, I mean, if we think we've won, we've already lost. I think our work is cut out for us.
Yeah, and Sarah, I'd add to that too, Christians, Jews, Hindus, and even Muslims, if they're not radical, if they're not backing these jihadists and their violence, we are all at risk. You know, I was trying to understand more, and I was asking my friend who's an expert on Islam and asking what's going on in the Sudan right now and trying to learn more information from her. And she's like, Brianna, it's two Muslim groups going after each other. Christians are in the middle. They're trying to side with the less violent Muslim group. And that's what you're seeing play out in the Sudan right now. That was her explanation for it. But again, it's all of us. I mean, if you don't believe in their radical beliefs, they come after everyone. And even Muslims aren't even safe in those situations. So we need to call it out. We need to continue to cover it. And if people disagree and don't see it as a threat, I don't know what more to show them. I mean, if you just have to look at their own words, you just have to listen in. The RAIR Foundation does a great job too. That's Amy Mech's group. That's R-A-I-R Foundation. She actually listens to a lot of their speeches, their meetings, and they hate her for it because she posts it online. She'll get it translated if she has to, but most importantly, she puts it out there for the people to watch, and a lot of the clips go viral, and they don't like it because they're not preaching equality, they're not preaching coexisting, they're not preaching any of those things. The clips that she's posted online. And she's one of the great people who was putting out there. I remember, I think it was a school, an Islamic school in Philadelphia, where they're literally having kids perform, and it's violence, cutting off the heads of Jews and others. So again, like, this is not the comparison of Christianity at all that I think is valid. So, or even something worth debating. I mean, I would love to see what other people would have to say about it, but I don't see the comparison in that. But Sarah, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. And thank you for listening to both Alex and me. And we do love Owen, Candace Owens as well. So thank you for that. We appreciate it, of course. Let's see. All right, let's go to Lester in West Virginia. I see you're next on the list. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Brianna, again.
Thank you, Lester. We appreciate you calling in, of course. What's going on?
Hey, I got one question before I get to my topic, and it's about the future of the show. I only own a laptop. I don't do cell phones or anything. So where can I catch both you, Alex, and Harrison at, with that being said?
Our show? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay, so band.video airs it. You said you do have a computer or you don't have a computer?
I do have a computer, but no cell phone. So in the future, I won't be able to get the AJN network download.
Yeah, so the AJN, we do have the Rumble page, though, set up. So there's a couple of Rumble pages. We'll get it up on the screen, too, for right now for you so you could see which page it is, because I know there's a couple of pages out there. But we'll show you which ones are the legitimate ones that you could follow. That's a great way to do just that. If you've got us on social media, on Twitter, we'll always be streaming my Twitter account. I own it, so, and I'll be sharing whenever, if we ever have to make that jump over, I'll be sharing whatever that platform is, so it will be easily accessible for you, of course. But band.videos for now, again, if we do make the transfer over, that won't be a thing anymore, but Alex Jones Clips is one of ours as well. We've got a couple of them up on Rumble, but just make sure you follow me on X. I mean, they can't shut my X account down, and I will, whatever changes we make, I will make sure to broadcast that out repeatedly so everyone can follow us. But and I understand why you don't have a cell phone. There's a lot that happens on it, so I could appreciate that. But you had something you wanted to talk about, Lester, so what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm currently on food stamps, and I kind of think Josh Hawley's doing something great right now. You know, we talked about this last show. I only get $40 a month food stamps. I think what Josh Hawley's doing is a good thing because he's calling to fund some of the people, but we ought to, you know, he ought to exempt some of the people you've talked about, some of the people that are clearly abusing the system. And that's happening at a huge alarming rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, $42 million do not belong on food stamps. I'm sorry. You're right. But what Josh Hawley's doing, I think, is I just think he's the future of the Democratic Party. And let me tell you why. Because I've got faith in his president is going to rip the Democratic Party as is up by the roots, and we're going to have to form a second party, and Josh Hawley's going to be that guy. And he's a good guy, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good guy. It's just, like you said, I mean, there's people out there who need it, and I'm okay with Americans who need assistance, getting access to that. But we keep playing the clips. There's a lot of people out there who are abusing the system, and those are the kind of people that need to be dropped from it. I mean, we could spot them pretty quickly now that we have done this. If you have kids, I understand that, and I don't want kids to go hungry. But there are charities. I mean, maybe if we started funding more charities and we forced them to purchase certain things to hand out to these families, then maybe that would be more efficient to make sure it's going to the right causes. I mean, my family, I remember, this is two generations ago when they first came to the U.S. They from Italy went to Argentina and then came to the United States. And there was a period of time, a very short period of time, where they had to go on food stamps. My dad would tell me that they'd go into my grandmother's, like, food pack. I guess it'd be my great grandmother's food cabinet, and they'd send someone to check to make sure that all the food was actually being purchased, the food stamps that were provided to them. Now, again, that's a lot of work, and for 42 million people, you can't do that. But there has to be a way to kind of purge out those who are abusing the system. And also, it was a way to make sure people who were getting these services were going to get off these services. So I agree. And also for folks at home, you know, Matt also reminded me in the commercial break, producer Matt, was telling me to remind all of you, now's a great time to donate to your food pantries, your churches, and remind people who are in need to go to church because the churches are giving. When I ran that charity on X, remember it wasn't a charity, it was a gathering of resources that we could bring down to Hills County, after that horrific flooding that they had to endure. The churches were just so overwhelmed with things that they ended up telling me that we don't have any more space. And luckily I came across a gentleman who was going to fly it down, but again, I mean, there's just so many people who could maybe use a little church in their life and to get them there. Maybe you just give them the resources and give them the incentive to go. And I think you could actually really improve someone's quality of life. So, Lester, thank you for jumping on and calling. We appreciate it as always. Looks like we only have time for one more person. Let's go to Jay in Indiana. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hi, you can hear me okay?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, good. That guy Bot, I guess, in Georgia was, it's funny, I was talking to the screener and I was saying that Frickster guy there and this Modami, whatever his name is there in New York, they're both saying they would stop ICE, and I was thinking the same exact thing, and as soon as I hung up with the screener, that's what the next guy said. That's the bottom line is the Constitution has all the answers. People need to be more informed on the Constitution and the laws. And as for giving to churches and synagogues and mosques and all that, when I came down to Alabama 25 years ago, I was in dire straits, and that's where I went. And I got a little help from the synagogue, and now I'm on my own and successful, and I'm a truck driver, and I do pretty well for somebody. I do pretty well, you know. And here's the kicker. I'm a truck driver. I'm educated by InfoWars 10 hours a day. And a couple other programs I listen to on X and on Rumble, and the answers are all available, and we just need to get these people to work for us to work for us. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Jay, I think you're spot on, and I love to hear that, so thank you. And I love to hear that you are back and you're able, you're thriving these days, so that's always good to hear. And we love the fact that you listen in force 10 hours a day. I think it's a healthy dose, of course. But, I mean, Jay, this is, you know, the American people, especially the younger generations, they were intentionally made to be ignorant, to not know about our Constitution, to not read it. You know, one of my college professors actually, probably the only one that I liked, would actually carry the Constitution in his pocket. And so that was always something I always thought that, at first I thought it was kind of weird, but then I also thought it was really kind of cool that he did just that, and he'd pop it out whenever we would say something that he thinks that was a teaching moment and would read it to us. So, yeah, I think that's really awesome. And Jay, it's great to hear your story as well. Definitely turn to you know, the church, the synagogues, for those donations now, for someone who relies on, you know, food stamps, because this is what they're made to do. These food charities as well, they're all meant to do this. They were preparing for this moment, and so now is the time, especially during the holidays. And if you're up on the good side of things right now, maybe consider going and dropping some things off or volunteering. Everyone could use a volunteer these days. I used to do it all the time when I was in college, and it was a great experience, of course, so definitely do just that. All right, guys, so that's it for this edition of the American Journal. Of course, let me just remind you, we are doing our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's 25% off site-wide. You heard that right. That includes all the supplements, all the shirts, all the hats, and all the hoodies. And, of course, folks, when you become a VIP member, you're going to get, when you pay $30 a month, you get $40 in store credits every single month. It's the number one way to support us, of course. We also have these really cool blades in, so head on over to the store, thealexjonesstore.com right now, and indulge in our sale. The Alex Jones Show is next.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, canceling time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this methylene red to make it available for everyone at the AlexJonesStore.com.